106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:06.
Hilarious actor Adam Pally joins us next hour here on K-Rock. We have tickets to both nights of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas to give to you. And, quick reminder, beer mug on location again today at the Del Taco, this time in Signal Hill. If you want to swing by with a new unwrapped toy, we appreciate it to help out with the Sparkle Love Toy Drive, 1801 Willow Street, Signal Hill. And Muggs is also giving away tickets for K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas this weekend, too. We have all the details at krock.com.
It's the most most wonderful time of the year, Kevin.
Agree.
And this
Thank
is
you,
why.
Omar.
Yeah. Because we're going to recap the top 10 moments with of 2018.
All right, let's take it over under because I haven't seen the list. Omar chose, right?
Yes, yes.
Bean, you didn't have any idea, right?
I had no input whatsoever into the selection.
I'll start the over under 6.
You think I have 6.
Yeah.
All right, Allie?
Over.
Mm-hmm. Over 6.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bean?
I think 6 is a great guess. I know that I had a particularly terrible year this year.
You did.
So I'll say under. I'll say we're more split this year than usual.
Okay. I certainly hope so.
All right.
Okay, well, here's the breakdown. Kevin came in with 9.
Oh, my God.
No. Okay.
Had a particularly bad year,
yes.
You said.
He came in with 6.
Which is huge for Bean.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant out of 10.
Yeah. No, this is of the year.
I thought you meant I got 9 out of 10.
No, total.
This
is of the year. Yeah, total of the year.
All right, good.
Okay. All right. Allie came in with 1, and Jensen with 2.
Ooh, a real sneaky.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Okay.
You've been on the show for 3 months.
With that said, this year, compared to previous years, is a little strange because we only had 18 total. Usually, we have around 35. So
wow.
You guys were a little weak sauce quantity-wise, but quality-wise, you guys are going to blow your minds right now. Okay,
right.
Let's get into it.
Top 10 moments with Come One, Come All, Come On and Have Some Fun, because you will not believe how the Kevin and Bean Show is so dumb. They're a little slow and definitely no wordsmiths. Come on, let's laugh. It's Top 10 Moments with
of 2018.
So, yeah, you guys are, you know, live on the radio 5 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Thank you for noticing that.
And I do notice that. You guys sometimes get some common sayings wrong. And at number 10, here's Kevin trying to figure one out.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
And then to get that response, just pours fire on the you know, gasoline, whatever, however that one works.
Agreed.
However that works.
Yes.
That was a moment with Kevin.
I mean, you know you're not going to get to it, so you might as well just bail.
Absolutely. At number 9, hey, Kevin. Whenever anything goes on sale at 10 a.m., we think of this.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Tickets on sale Friday, 10 at noon. Friday, 10 at noon? Why would I say that?
Nope.
That was a moment.
I sort of like that one because I turned on myself hard.
Yeah, exactly. You got it.
Like,
yeah,
I totally. Was mad at me.
Totally, yeah. Totally. At number 8, hey, it's Jensen.
Hey.
Yes.
All right.
And the best part of this is Jensen's confidence. Check this out.
And now, a moment with Jensen.
H plus OH equals?
OH2.
H2O. H2O.
Okay. Well, pretty sure that's going to get pulled.
That was a moment with Jensen.
Fantastic.
Jensen truly belongs here.
I do.
Yes, he does.
Number 7. Hey, it's Kevin again.
Yay.
We were doing a game for an Expendables giveaway, and this is just amazing.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
One of the members of the team is played by Stone Cold Steve Austin. Listen up.
It's a hell of a clip.
That's about right, though. That's about what the whole movie was like.
Watch Expendables, that is.
Wait, wasn't that what the contestant was supposed to guess?
You just pulled a me.
Congratulations, Gabriel. You did the drawing.
That was a moment with Kevin.
I get it, Kevin.
So in an effort to mock Bean, I gave away the answer.
Yeah, totally. And number 6, we have Bean.
Yes.
Okay.
And he just can't come up with the words here.
And now, a moment with Bean.
He has a mild case of asthma. and he ended up being in the hospital as a result of an asthma attack. He could have died had he not gotten to the hospital in time. They had to do that emergency thing where they, whatever it is, they put on you to bring your breath back or whatever. But it's probably not the best description.
That was a moment with me.
Oh, whatever. What is that called? It's an inhaler, right? That's what I was looking for?
I mean...
Sure.
I'm still a little confused as to what you're saying.
At number five, hey, it's Kevin again.
Oh. Yeah.
And this is extra spectacular because Billie Eilish is playing Absolute Almost Acoustic mm-hmm. Christmas. And this week, when he got the name wrong, he also, I think, picked her as That's My Jam.
He did.
And he totally butchered this.
Oh, yeah.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And if you win, you will get C92, which is Florence and the Machine. I always call it Florence and Against the Machine. Mike Shinoda, Billy Elliot.
Billy Elliot, huh? Just going to dance
Billie
right into your heart?
I'm sorry. I can barely see the paperwork.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Did that more than once, too.
I love that you blamed it on the paperwork.
Yeah,
it
is.
I'm like, how does Billy Elliot come to your mind, though?
That's you tell me. I have no idea.
Dance or die. Right? You know this.
Yeah.
That's true. Here's an odd one, because you guys have been the Kevin and Bean Morning Show for going to be 30 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Eventually, sure.
And here's Bean saying this.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
Very talented actor Dylan McDermott joins us just after 9 this morning here on the K-Rock Morning Show. What's that sound like?
I don't think we've ever called it that.
That's us.
That was A Moment with Bean.
How long have you guys gone by Kevin and Bean?
Since the beginning.
Okay.
I am just now getting used to the new name, though.
Uh-huh. Yes. And Bean, like he said, he came on very strong.
Yeah. Again, so with the Bean.
What number are we on?
At number three.
Yes.
Here is another spectacular moment.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
The only thing I can think is... Mistaken door.
Doorbell identity.
No, I was thinking. I'm not sure how to say it, but they meant to go to somebody else's house, got the wrong apartment or condo or house number, whatever you have.
How about wrong address? Like that?
That would have been a more succinct way to say it.
That was A Moment with Bean.
That was pretty sweet.
That was good. That was good.
Can I just say, it was just the two of us in studio. So if I stayed silent, it would have been so much more painful, and I did the wrong thing by helping.
Look, the rule is let them drown.
Yeah. Right.
That's the rule. Somebody starts going into a moment with no one help.
Yeah, no life raft.
And it's difficult because as a nice person, you want to help out, but it's funnier this way.
Yeah, totally.
I do not have the best words, you guys.
You do not. And at number two, you prove that once again.
Yes!
Bean tries to figure out what the Afro Line number is.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
1-800-520-1067.
You're not giving the wrong number.
323-520-1067. That's the number for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line. We have your calls on the air from our voicemail. Is that not right? 323-520-AFRO.
Yep.
That's the number for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line.
Jesus.
Longest moment with ever.
I am weak.
That was A Moment with Bean.
But in Bean's defense, we just had changed the number to that.
No.
25 years ago, right?
Oh, it was the same number as always.
No. Okay. Okay, so we're going to get to number one. So far, the breakdown is 4 Kevin, 1 Jensen, and 4 Bean.
Nice.
Oh, tiebreaker.
Okay.
Please, come on, Bean.
Come on, Kevin.
Here we go. Come on, Kevin. Has there ever been a year where I was not number one?
I don't think there has.
I don't think so either.
I don't think there has, but...
Now I'm rooting for me, oddly.
I think the crown this year has been stolen from Kevin.
Yes!
Nice!
At number one, we have Allie with her infamous Blink 182 question.
No.
And now, A Moment with Allie.
But also, you guys are posting videos like, oh, we're rehearsing for the Weenie Roast, and we're like... Goddamn weenie roast. Mm-hmm. You guys are Blink 182. What are you doing? Like, but then it occurred to us, I guess fans really rehearse for different festivals and different situations, which we just thought, you do the same old thing every time.
That was A Moment with Allie.
And what was wasn't a question.
Congrats. Nope.
Do we even know that they were still in the room?
They had left by that point. Okay. Can we explain why I sound so drunk there?
Because you're drunk.
Because I was wasted.
Yeah. That's a good explanation. Yeah. Thank you.
Top 10 moments with
of 2018. Dumb.
We're going to deal with Jensen's Supreme hat coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. There must be an age limit on some things you could wear, right?
We'll find out.
I would think so, yeah. This story surprised me. Maybe it shouldn't, because every year around the time that Christmas music starts getting played on the radio, I see more and more think pieces on whether it may be time to bury Baby It's Cold Outside. This is a classic song from the 1940s that won an Academy Award for Best Song that year. And it's a man and a woman who are at the end of a date, and she wants to go home, I guess is fair to say. And
no.
he's being persuasive as possible to get her
Allie,
to stay.
She wants to leave.
Already wrong.
So anyway, point is she's saying she wants to leave. Maybe you're saying her mind is saying something else, but...
No.
She is saying she wants to leave.
The whole point of the song is she wants to stay, she wants to get down, but she knows what society is going to say, because the song was written in 1944, mm-hmm. so she is to keep coming up with, oh, well, my mom's going to talk, and my brother's going to talk, and my aunt is vicious, and all this stuff. So every time he comes back at her with a reason, her whole thing is like,
Well, thank God he just kept pushing then. You know what I mean?
Thank God he didn't take no for an answer. So anyway, before we get into Allie's defense of the song, just to finish the thought. So now a radio station in America very publicly has decided, and they put it to their listeners and said, hey, is this song too rapey for the Me Too era? And the feedback that they got was, yes, it is. So they're not going to play it anymore. This is WDOK, Star 102.3, has pulled the song from the rotation. They say no more. And by the way, they're not the only radio station that has made this decision. So the discussion is, are people overreacting to this song? As Allie says, are we misreading the song from its original intention, the way it was written in the 1940s? So let's hear a little bit of it. Let's go through it. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds of versions. Everybody has done this song. You know, from Willie Nelson to Rod Stewart to CeeLo Green to Garth Brooks to Amy Grant to Fantasia. I mean, there are so many versions of this. But I think we have selected the Idina Menzel and Michael Bublé version. So let's go through and stop and start and see what we think about it. So far, everybody happy with it? So far, we're good?
So far, so good.
Okay.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been.
I'm hoping that you dropped
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my
mine.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My father
hurry?
Will be pacing the floor.
Listen to that fireplace roar.
Really, better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
maybe
hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I...
Okay, stop
maybe
right there.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Because she's intimidated. Because he's in front of the door.
He's not in front of the door.
He's not in front of the door.
We don't say that.
I'm in front of the door.
I don't believe those are the lyrics.
No. I don't think anyone's suggesting at this point, verse one, that she's not having a great time with this dude and happy to be there. She hasn't really started to protest seriously. She did mention that her mom will start to worry, but she's a grown-up. That's legit.
Stop grabbing my arms.
She didn't say that either. So far, I have no problem with the song. Let's see what happens next.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
Okay. Is that the problem? All right, what about the roofie, Allie? How do you defend the roofie?
You're looking at it under the lens of 2018.
Mel, CeeLo did perform this.
This was a song written in 1944.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was a line that they would do in movies all the time. Like, it was under the cover of Loose Lips. Like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. What's in this drink? It's about... You have a buzz. There's soon to be some risque behavior. Oh. What's in this drink? Oh, I'm going to make out with you. Huh? You're looking at it as 2018, it didn't mean drugging someone back then. Context matters, you guys.
I don't think it's a roofie, but I do think that there's more alcohol than she wants in the drink.
She just said a line before, well, maybe just half a drink more.
Yeah, and there's too much in it.
fully aware. Then stop drinking it. Let's have a little pride, ladies.
I'm with Allie. It sounds
it's ridiculous.
Like, it sounds like she's just sort of tipsy and happy and at a party. And I'm with Allie. I don't think she's being roofied, for God's sake.
No means no.
Okay, so far at this point in the song, Kevin, you're still playing it. You're not dropping it from the playlist. Okay, let's hear some more.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlights.
To break this spell.
I'll take your hat.
Well,
your hair
you.
Looks swell.
I ought to say no, no,
mind
no,
if
sir.
I'm moving
at
closer.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of...
Boom! I ought to say no, 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 but I don't wanna. But I'm gonna say I tried because all of you a-holes are gonna say I'm a slut. But you know what? I'll say I tried because that way I've got a little bit of cover there. No, you want to bone the dude. Stay and bone the dude.
What's in this drink?
So in 1944, Allie, if I understand correctly, what you're saying is there's no way a respectable woman could have sex out of marriage.
No, so not therefore, in 1944.
Yeah, so therefore she's basically putting, you know, looking for what her defense is going to be if
Absolutely.
Anyone accuses her.
This is a reach, guys.
Say, what's in this
I
drink?
Like, I don't think
I feel
this
like
is
Allie's
reach. Winning me over here,
I
by
don't
the
think
way.
This is a reach, Jensen. I think yours is stretching it
You're looking
way too
at
far.
It under the lens
Agreed.
Of 2018.
No, I'm not. I didn't think roofies. What I'm saying is I think that she is saying, I think it's time for me to go. And he is not even listening. He's like, your hair looks nice. Like, he's not even addressing the thing you're talking about.
Well, then
if
we're
if at any point he said, don't worry about what other people think or anything along those lines, or like, oh, you know, we'll keep it between us, I'm down for that because I like adult R&B. Trust
well,
me. I'm down for secrets to be kept in music.
And they didn't say things like that
no.
in 1944.
Well,
it was all about, oh, this person's going to worry, this person's going to worry, people are going to talk.
And that could be good. Maybe he should be like, you're right, reputation sucks.
It does like, sound like they're both flirting, though. It does
yeah.
sound like
well,
that to me.
Well, this is the text from the 818 that just came in. Baby, It's Cold Outside is a classic that is flirty and sexy. Keep it on.
I mean, who wrote that?
And get it on, by the way. It sounds like he did.
I'm just saying, stop being such goddamn snowflakes. It's a song.
Guys, it's
chill
not even,
out.
It's not even a good song, one.
Agreed.
It's not.
Oh,
agreed. It is not.
You.
Oh,
it's
it
not a good
crap.
Song.
If we're going to lose any song, I'm fine with this one. I also just think he sounds creepy in it. I think we can address the idea that it's not like a problematic rapey song, but it also just sounds weird.
It's a guy trying to get laid and a girl that wants to, but she's trying to think of every reason not to because she doesn't want to feel bad because she's going to be pigeonholed as a whore of 1944. She goes on to say, well, maybe just a cigarette more. Okay, fine, just another drink then. You're saying that he wore her down.
Yeah.
I'm saying she wanted to be wore down.
Okay,
I mean, that is such a crazy subtext. Guys, if Allie McKay saw you anything right now, wear a woman down until she eventually
no,
is like...
No,
she's
no here's
all.
The thing. Women know how to say no and leave. And if you don't know how to say no and leave, maybe you shouldn't be dating. And I know there's whole different circumstances where we get scared and we want to, like, not lead a guy on and not do this, not do that. There are ways out of situations.
Okay,
but
let me ask this question.
This is not one of them.
We're out of time, but let me ask this question, Allie, and this is a serious question. You've convinced me that the song is fine. It's sexy and flirty, and she has the ability to leave but doesn't want to, and it's gonna if it goes down, it's going to be consensual. But we can't have this conversation and explain this all every single time that song comes up in rotation on hundreds of radio stations around the country. So isn't it open to misinterpretation because most listeners are listening through the ears of a 2018 person?
If you want to listen to it, go ahead
you
and
can hear
listen
what you
to
want
it,
to
hear what you want to hear, but context matters, period, end of discussion, it matters. And in this case, it definitely matters.
But what I'm saying is people are going to hear it and they're not going to hear this discussion. They're only
right.
going to hear it
it's
through the lens
like,
of...
Hey, everybody, this next song, Baby, It's Cold Outside, for those who worry, this song is not about rape. There is total consent between the two. It's
right.
flirty banter from the 1940s.
Well, I think,
hit it, Steve.
I think if you want to believe it's rapey, instead of looking at the words and looking at the context, you're going to believe it's rapey. But if you actually took the time, instead of having a knee-jerk reaction to something because someone's telling you it's rapey, then you're going to be an a-hole that has a knee-jerk reaction to everything. Good night.
Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We've been seeing a lot of you in this room lately.
I know. The listeners love it, guys.
By the way, we just asked Omar if he had any rules, and he said no, but I always followed the ones that you guys
yeah,
said.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah.
Come down the east.
I burned lightning last week. We went out to lunch, and he wanted a salad. I ordered a salad. He had to eat a burger. He was so miserable eating his burger.
You guys are the worst. Order what you want.
And if somebody orders it before you, it's off the table.
Yep.
Nuts.
Omar is the co-host of the very popular B-Team podcast that you can get wherever you get the Kevin and Bean podcast at KROQ.com or Apple Podcasts or whatever. So it's he, and it's David King of Mexico, and it's Beer Mug, and it's a show about the show. Mm-hmm. They tell behind-the-scenes stories and the history of the Kevin and Bean show. How far into this are you? Like 30 episodes or something, right?
We just recorded episode 39 yesterday.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How about that? Yeah. And there's so much stuff on, I don't listen to it, but I understand there's so much stuff on the B-Team podcast that Kevin and I have no memory of doing.
Yeah, so Lightning was hoarding this hard drive with a bunch of old school Kevin Bean stuff from the early 90s that I've been going through. And last episode, episode 38, I found a bit where you guys called LaToya Jackson to talk about her country record from Nashville to you. And so, I was like, what?
Why did we do that?
It's an excellent question, and I have some audio that I want to present for you guys. And I think Michael Jackson had just married Lisa Marie Presley.
Oh, okay. So it was to ask questions about the Jackson family.
Exactly.
Okay. So what year are we thinking here, Omar?
I'm thinking 94-ish.
Okay.
Around there. And you guys weren't totally convinced that you guys should speak to LaToya, so you guys decide to, on the air, flip for it.
All right, let's flip. Seriously, let's flip.
Let's just call her.
Lightning, you have a coin?
I have a nickel right here.
You have a nickel?
All right, let's flip. Flip on whether to call LaToya or not?
Heads?
Well, first of all, Frank, our producer in studio, are we going to get you in any kind of trouble? What bridges are we burning here if we don't do the LaToya interview at all?
Well, LaToya,
she is pretty worthless. I'll grant Kevin she's pretty worthless.
Let's set this up for the fine K-Rock listening audience. Those of you who listen to this program, we think that LaToya Jackson, or at least this is Kevin speaking now, is a bag of hot air, has nothing to say, and the only reason she's famous is because she talks bad about her family.
I agree with that.
Oh, remember when she used to talk so badly about her family all the time?
All the time.
Ali, you remember that? Because you're looking at me like I'm a dick.
I'm just looking at you because that's your voice.
It's my voice.
Okay. I want to get me in on some of that action.
Well, why would we want to talk to her? Because she has nothing to say. Heads, we'll call her. Tails, we won't.
All right, here we go. Heads.
All right, best 3 out of 5. Best 3 out of 5.
Are we bypassing 2 out of 3 and going right to 3 out of 5?
Right to 3 out of 5.
Right.
Now,
what am I going to tell Jack Gordon?
I mean, we don't care. Okay, what's your problem?
I dropped it there. What bridge are we burning if we...
We're not. We're burning the whole...
It's over that way.
So Jack Gordon.
You can't
is...
drop the coin.
All right.
What the hell are we doing?
I don't know. This is on the air, guys.
What? So we lost the coin and we're just crawling around on the ground?
That's what's happening, guys.
What? Why would anyone listen to this?
Again.
Heads again. That's two. You know, if you have to go through this much trouble to decide whether to even do the interview, you really shouldn't do the interview. Tails.
All right, go 2 to 1.
All right.
Come on.
This is it.
Tails.
Tails.
2 to 2,
oh,
ladies
no.
and gentlemen.
Oh, deciding.
Best 3 out of 5.
So it all comes down to this one right
here. Come on, like you flip the coin. Don't make me go away on vacation.
Heads.
On a weekend of vacation, have any time to
LaToya
Jackson.
Looks like we're calling LaToya Jackson. How about a little canned heat while we're waiting?
What? Why
are we wasting this much time? We still haven't even talked to LaToya.
Why'd you go to canned heat?
Why?
Why'd we go to canned heat? Yeah. I don't know. Was that a song we were playing then?
I don't know. No. It's K-Rock.
I don't think so.
Guys, you're asking us questions about a bit we did 24 years
we've
ago.
Done Why do you think so we would many this? Bits. We don't remember most
Listen,
of this.
I
don't remember ever flipping for a guest. That's
Isn't that
weird.
Crazy?
Okay.
And not just flipping, best of 5.
Yeah, well, being rightly pointed out, you're skipping right over 2 out of 3. All right, let's continue.
So Jack Gordon, her husband manager, is also affiliated with John Wayne Bobbitt.
Oh, that's we don't want to burn the John Wayne Bobbitt bridge,
that's the
man.
Connection.
There's a lot of these big bridges we don't Hello?
Okay. So that's how you guys got her. She was pimping out this country record. You put the feelers out because you wanted to talk to somebody in the Michael Jackson family about the marriage. And you finally get LaToya Jackson on the phone.
LaToya Jackson.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
We're good. Did we wake you up?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
LaToya, have you ever heard of the band Canned Heat? They played Woodstock?
I'm afraid I haven't.
You sound just like their lead singer. I'm just noticing that today. You have the same voice as their lead singer.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, because we were listening to your CD From Nashville to You.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
No, we weren't, were we? No, we weren't listening to that CD. No. Why would we tell her that?
Wait, her voice doesn't even sound like a real person, does it?
It doesn't.
She
it
always
doesn't.
Had that little child voice.
And she's pretty clueless.
Really?
And, yeah. And so Bean tells her that, hey, your CD not only has a country vibe, but it also has a little Las Vegas feel to it. And she disagrees, and you guys decide to put her on hold and talk behind her back.
Oh.
Okay, hold on, Montoya. Just a minute.
She doesn't sound... Can she hear us on hold?
No.
She doesn't sound like she knows what she's talking about. It's her album. How can she listen to this music and tell me it's not Vegas? How can she not know it's Vegas?
It's not country.
She knows less about her album than she does about Michael.
Seriously, let's just end the conversation here and tell her things.
Well, let's just ask her about the Michael Jackson thing, though. All right. I want to find out, you know, how she found out about it and stuff like that.
Now, my recollection is that we weren't supposed to ask her about the Jackson family. That's
probably
all
she wanted to do was promote
her country album.
Exactly.
Right?
And where do you guys go?
Do you talk with Michael now?
I haven't spoken to Michael in a long, long time.
How long is a long time? Since before the Geraldo show? Because I know you went on the Geraldo show, and it seemed to me like you were being rather unkind to your brother.
Oh, no.
No, I wasn't being unkind to him at all.
Well, I mean, you were guessing that he was abusing children. And if that were me...
I don't think this is the issue or what we should be talking about, because that's, you know, we started the conversation off and then now we get on the family, and I thought we were talking about me and my record instead of him. But again, I'm not here to talk about my family. I want to put that behind me and I want to move forward.
Are you pretty much distancing yourself from the rest of the family?
So if you want to talk about them, you can call them and give them a call and talk to them.
Okay, thank you.
See you later.
Boom!
What?
Wow.
Yes. I don't have time for that crap. Ladies and gentlemen, the exclusive Latoya Jackson interview.
Why?
Wow.
Why would we flip a coin?
I don't know, but I love it. I love that entire thing. We need. Hey, Dave, you have Latoya Jackson's number?
Nope.
Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll tell you the story about a woman who figured out a way to upload her flashing her boobs onto Google Maps. Is that a step in the right direction?
USA!
Or
we
okay?
USA!
All right,
direction. USA!
So we'll talk about that coming up here on K-Rock.
You know, sometimes it's difficult to take pictures with celebrities, so you don't ask. You know how that happens?
Is it difficult to take pictures with celebrities? Don't you just hold your phone up and hit a button?
You would think so, sure. Mm-hmm. But I was at a party and I ran into Will Ferrell recently.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Oh, old friend of the show. Spent time talking to him. He was very nice.
We get some meatloaf!
Right?
So I kept thinking in the back of my head, I should ask for a picture, but I don't want to be that guy. But he wouldn't mind taking a picture, so...
Now, let me stop you right there, because I know the inclination for both of us is not to bother a celebrity.
Right.
Not to engage, because we have nothing to add to their lives.
Right.
But, as you mentioned, Will Ferrell has been a listener of the show and a guest on the show going back over 25 years.
Yeah, he used to come to nightclub things that we did.
Yeah, he would come to our live appearances, right. So, and God bless Will. We love Will. We'd do anything for Will. And he would do, you know, he's come through for us on numbers of occasions. So I feel like we kind of have a relationship with him.
Right.
So I feel like that's not too big an ask because you guys know each other.
And that's what I felt like.
Okay.
And then we were smack talking about soccer teams. And then finally I said, look, do you mind if we take a picture? So he said, no, of course. So I put my phone up and somebody texted me. And the text comes over the phone thing. So I had to use my thumb to move the text. And then it went out of camera mode.
All right.
So
understandable.
Okay. So now there's a little pressure because you're wasting his time. Right? Now, you know how you can use the volume up button to take the picture?
Right.
So I hold the phone away from me so that we can both fit because his head is huge.
Yeah.
And I try to push that button and
hot meat kettle, by the way. His head is huge.
Right, exactly.
Come on now.
So I try to push the volume up, but I pushed at the same time the power button on the right. So it shut down the camera again. Now, all of a sudden, there's a tremendous amount of stress and anguish that comes into this that really shouldn't.
Oh, yeah. Look, after two attempts
right.
with a big star, it's flop sweat time.
Look, Bean and I literally boo people that don't have their phones ready, just mostly to be funny. But
right.
you realize, like, okay, this is ridiculous, and now I'm wasting his time because I don't know how to work my phone, which I totally know how to work.
Right.
I've taken pictures with people 100 times.
Right. If it hadn't been Will Ferrell,
right,
you would have been able to take that picture on the first attempt.
Probably, or I would have bailed. I just would have said, thanks a lot, I appreciate it, don't worry about it.
Right.
So then I finally took a picture, and it was, it was completely blurry.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I believed you when you said it was Will Ferrell.
Oh, no, the one you saw wasn't the blurry one.
Oh, really?
That was the clear one.
Oh, because that one, it was barely Will Ferrell.
Right, exactly. So I took the blurry one, and then the pressure added more, like, I'm really sorry, but I know this was the third try, but that photo was blurry. Can we take another one?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
See, you got more balls than I do.
See, I don't know if it's balls or stupidity.
What's Will doing? What's he saying?
He's being...
Is he looking at his watch?
Nice. No, he couldn't be more nice.
He's like, oh, there's somebody over there I need to go talk to.
No. You would... I mean, you picture that that's what's going through their minds.
Sure.
But we talked for a little while, and he was being really cool, and he was being patient. It's not like he was saying anything that made me feel all that pressure. But you do feel a tremendous amount of pressure to take that picture.
Absolutely.
And then you get the blurry one and you go, well, I do post blurry photos. That does make me laugh. But I'd like a real one. So I asked him again. And then I took the one that I posted. And I just want to say to everybody that we've booed through the years, sorry about that, because there's a lot of pressure. And I didn't realize that until I crumbled in front of Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell spent 40% of his adult life waiting for you to take his photo.
Right, and I apologize to Will as well.
Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour this morning, by the way, we'll give you a chance to keep it 100 like we do, where you can pick any K-Rock song ever. We'll play it for you. Also, we have more singles tickets. We'll be looking for men 21 and up in the 9 o'clock hour. First, though, we had our friend Eliza Schlesinger on the program yesterday. Hilarious comedian, good friend of the show. I cannot recommend her new Netflix special, Elder Millennial, more highly than I am. It is the best thing she's ever done, and it's available now, so check it out. But while she was in here in the studio talking about us, talking about the special, she mentioned that she had recently sat on an airplane. And, Kevin, you try to never chat with the person in the seat next to you if you can help it, right?
I don't know. I just feel like it's small talk, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And where are you from? Okay, where are you from? What do you do? Okay, what do you do? Okay. And then you're out. So I just put on my headphones and watch something on my iPad.
Mm-hmm. You rarely make a lifelong friend because you're sitting next to them at a plane.
Right.
Well, she got to talking, and the small talk revealed that they were mutual fans of each other. It turns out that he was a big fan of her comedy, and she was a big fan of his music because he was Butch Walker. Now, Butch Walker had that K-Rock song Freak of the Week a few years ago, a number of years ago, if you remember that. But then he's gone on to become a singer-songwriter. He's written and produced for everybody from Pink to Panic at the Disco to Fall Out Boy to Taylor Swift. I mean, he's one of the big names in songwriting in America today. So she had a very pleasant experience. But that got us to thinking, everybody flies. At some point, have you maybe sat next to a celebrity? Who was it and what was it like?
I don't think I ever have.
That's so surprising.
But again,
to me.
I don't really pay attention.
And
that might be a surprise to you as well.
You don't recognize anybody.
I mean, it's possible.
You could have been sitting next to Jimmy Carter and you wouldn't know who he was.
Who?
Exactly. Allie, you've sat next to celebrities, I'm sure, in your life.
My last flight from New York out to L.A., I was sitting one...
Bobo.
No, not Bobo. Okay. I wish. I love it.
Bong.
Not Bong Bong either. I sat right behind Jesus.
Wow, that's quite
which is weird. I was like, can't you kind of fly and stuff? No, it was Harry Connick Jr.
Oh. No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. And
you're not at all attracted to him.
Who would be? Here's the thing. I did something that I rarely do. I stopped myself from saying to this man, I put on When My Heart Finds Christmas, your album from the 90s, every time I decorate my house for Christmas.
You didn't say that.
I didn't
I'm
say
so
it because
happy.
I was like, you'd be such a dork.
Right.
But
I
honestly,
think he would have. I think he would have appreciated that compliment.
I think he would have.
He would have asked to move.
Well,
I think he
could.
By the way, that's one of the best Christmas albums
ever. When My Heart Finds Christmas, it's delightful. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Now, are we talking about, because this is my curiosity as we take your calls on this, if you sat next to a celebrity on a plane, 1-800-520-1067. It's different seeing a celebrity on the plane and sitting next to the celebrity and having the opportunity to actually have a conversation with.
Right. Like I did with David Crosby and his wife.
Yes. Yes,
you remember
exactly.
That?
Tell us that story.
Yeah. I was a little kid. I didn't know any better, but I was super pumped that he was sitting next to me.
Okay.
So when he went to the bathroom, I said to his wife, what is it like being married to Gallagher? And she died laughing. My mom and dad were mortified. Like, oh, our kid's an idiot. He came back from the bathroom. She told him he was dying. He thought it was the greatest thing ever.
It is the greatest thing
ever. As a little kid, I was like, but seriously, the watermelon, you make him put on a raincoat. He's like, nope, I'm David Crosby. So that was dumb.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So do you have to have sat next to the person? I guess that's what my question is.
I mean, I think if we, but in a perfect
world,
that's
what you're looking for. Not just you saw a dude on a plane.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because remember last year I saw, at the time, I didn't even know John Boyega's name. It was before that Star Wars movie come out, or maybe a year and a half ago. And I just said, I saw the black stormtrooper on a plane.
Yes.
And I was so excited.
And he had a stormtrooper backpack.
He had a stormtrooper backpack, exactly, before the movie came out. Right. So that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for you sat next to somebody, had a conversation. Let's take one before the break, because this is awesome. Evan, line one, Los Angeles. This is a dream come true, I think.
Take it easy, Bean.
It really was. In night, you guys might remember, there have been strikes where we didn't have the regular flight attendants. This was a time when people were not the regular flight attendants. So back of the plane, there's people just pulling booze off the carts. And next thing I know, I'm standing next to David Byrne of the Talking Head.
Come on with the come on.
Swear to God.
That's pretty strong.
He seems like the kind of guy, if he was up for talking to you, that it would be a fascinating conversation because he's so intelligent and interesting and interested in so many things.
And here's the thing. He was interested in the people around him, and we all had a lovely conversation. He's exactly as you said.
That's awesome.
Freaking incredibly smart. It was right after Talk to Stop Making Sense. He was great.
Wow. Was he wearing a huge suit? Do you remember?
No, he was in a T-shirt, but I was thinking of a suit. You're right.
All right. Thank you for the call, Evan. Great call. 1-800-520-1067. You sat next to a celebrity on a plane. We want to hear your stories next on KRQ.
Just ahead of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, let's take one call. We're talking about you sat next to a celebrity on an airplane. Chris from Huntington Beach. Hi.
Hello.
You sat next to who?
I sat next to Los Angeles Laker Derek Fisher.
Oh, that would have been fun.
All right.
Now, Kevin, would you have melted down sitting next to Derek the way you did when you ran into Magic Johnson that day, or would you have been cool with Derek?
I think I would have been cool with Derek because he's not Magic Johnson.
No.
Okay. All right. But what did he win? Like five rings or something?
Yeah, it was crazy.
What did you guys talk about?
I actually didn't talk about much. He got on the plane and sat next to me. I was shocked, and a lot of people just kept coming up to him, bugging him for autographs, and he said a few words, kind of like Kevin was talking about, just quick chit-chat, and then he fell asleep the whole way home. It was from Dallas back to L.A.
He wasn't asleep. He was just faking it because he didn't want to talk to you. I mean, everyone.
Are you a basketball fan?
Yes, I'm a huge Laker fan, so I knew him right away. I got his autograph at the end of the flight and everything, so it was really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. All right. Good experience. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that so much, Chris. 1-800-520-1067. Oh, we got some good celebrities on the line, you guys, or at least people who have sat next to the good celebrities. And we'll take some more calls next, right after the Chili Peppers on K-Rock. Eliza sat next to a famous musician on her flight. She was telling us about it yesterday when she was in. So we started asking, who have you sat next to on a plane? Robert writes in from Huntington Beach. I sat in front of Conan O'Brien from a flight from Heathrow once, met him in baggage claim. Super nice guy. Allie should meet him.
Oh, man.
Allie, you should. Can you imagine if Allie got on a plane and she was walking down the aisle and she got in her seat and Conan O'Brien was
She would make him stop and she would get off the plane.
I would. I'd be like, I can't.
She'd pull the chute and just slide down.
I'm getting sweaty thinking about it.
Let's go to Jackie, Redondo Beach, line two, please. Up first on the Kevin and Bean Show in this segment. What celebrity did you sit next to, Jackie?
Muhammad Ali.
Whoa!
Oh, man.
That's strong.
I mean, it kind of matters how long ago it was, but tell us about it.
It was back in the 80s, early 80s.
Sweet.
And we were flying Southwest from Las Vegas to L.A., so it was a three-seater. There's no first class. And it was my husband and I and Muhammad Ali seated together.
That's amazing.
Why is Muhammad Ali flying Southwest?
In the 80s, we all flew Southwest.
Oh, you and I did, of course. Yes. He's Muhammad Ali.
Did you?
That's to this day, I don't know why.
and how was he? How did he seem? Did he chat with you guys?
He was a lovely, sweet gentleman who was funny, told jokes, did magic tricks.
He did magic tricks.
Oh my God, this is the best.
How many people can say Muhammad Ali did magic tricks for me? That's insane.
And my husband put his fist up at one point. and Muhammad Ali put his fist up, and it looked like a ham next to a bun. You know, it was like,
yeah. Did you? This was way before everybody had a phone of a phone with a camera in their pocket. But is there any way you got a picture of that?
No, of course not. But I do have. He gave us autographs. He wrote a small poem to the autograph that I asked for my nephew.
Wow. This is so unbelievable.
We have a little poem written and signed by Muhammad Ali. He was the nicest guy.
Yep.
I'm, by the way, one of your oldest listeners, I think.
Well, thank you for sharing that story with us, Jackie. We really appreciate it. Muhammad Ali arguably was, for a long time, literally the most famous man on the planet.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely.
And he doesn't have to be, A, he doesn't have to be flying Southwest, and B, he certainly doesn't have to be nice to Jackie and her
husband.
Doing
magic. Sure.
Yeah.
Doing
by all
magic.
Accounts, that's just who he is. Just
wow,
kind.
That's great. That's amazing. Yeah. All right, let's go to Dave, please, line 6. Dave's calling us from Santa Barbara this morning here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling in. Holding on. What celebrity did you find yourself sitting next to on a plane?
Why do you jerks have to put me on after Muhammad Ali?
Why? Is yours not going to hold up?
Well, I don't know if he holds it up anymore. Ron Jeremy coming back from
You're right. That's no way to follow up Muhammad Ali.
I don't know if he holds it up anymore.
So was that in your mind, was that, oh, this is going to be fun. I can't wait to ask all the questions I've always wanted to ask the most famous porn star in the world. Or was that, oh, don't make me sit next to the smelly guy?
Well, it was a funny story. I went in there, and they overbooked a flight. And the guy, he's very frugal with his money.
Mm-hmm.
So he put himself on standby, but they overbooked a flight. I was a frequent flyer, so they bumped me up to first class. I was getting my ticket, and he's at the counter. I look over at him, and I look at the person giving me the ticket. I'm like, whatever you do, don't sit me next to him, pointing at Ron. And
You were joking?
I was joking.
Okay.
I sit down. He upgraded himself to first class to get a guaranteed seat on the flight, and he's sitting next to me.
Love it. Did he do magic for you?
I don't want to know his magic.
Did you hold yours up next to his, and it looked like a bun and a ham?
Well, the funny thing about it was a seat opened up in coach, and they came up and asked him if he wanted to coach, and he's like, can I get my money back? And they're like, yeah. So he took the blanket, the pillow, and the headphones from first class and went to coach.
Oh, wow. Sweet. He probably right now today he's going, I sat next to this a-hole named Dave, and I went in back and coached because it was so bad.
That's right. All right, Dave, great call, sir. Thank you. Let's go to Lucas, line 7, Long Beach. Lucas, I think, Kevin, if I know you, this guy's a top 10 person you'd want to sit next to you on a plane.
Sure.
Agreed.
Lucas, tell us about
I was kind of starstruck when I saw him walk on the plane. And then when he actually sat down next to me...
Well, could you tell us who you're talking about, please?
Jack Black. I thought you'd already mentioned
We did
that.
Not know. Sorry. Jack Black.
Okay, all right.
The best.
Yeah, I was pretty like, woo. Because, I'm a huge Tenacious D fan.
Agreed.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm only 25, so I semi-grew up with Jack Black. So I was pretty starstruck. I was 19 at the time.
Did you talk to him?
And... Yeah, I definitely talked to him. I didn't, fanboy over him, but I definitely, said hi and told him that I loved Tenacious D, loved his work.
Guys, Lucas fanboyed over him.
One of the coolest guys in the world, though.
Yeah, he really is.
Until he wrecks your bathroom.
Right.
The funny thing is, that flight, that wasn't even, that was the most memorable flight of my life, because meeting Jack Black was not the only crazy thing that happened. I also ended up... I was 19, and I also ended up meeting a girl on the plane who sat next to me, who also met Jack Black, and I was underage, and she bought me drinks on the plane. I don't know how we got away with it. And
the story's going downhill since Jack Black.
Yeah,
I got to be
honest. I think you peaked early, but thank you for the call, Lucas. We appreciate it very much. All right.
How are we not going to line 4?
Let's go to line 4 then.
Come on.
All right,
Ryan. None of our listeners knows who any of these people are, but sure, Allie, we'll go to line 4.
Of course they do.
Ryan in Villa Park, hi.
Hey, it was actually pretty awful. All these other stories are fantastic, but I got upgraded to first class, and I was in line of sight right next to Little Richard and Charo.
Little Richard and Charo.
That's the love boat.
It was going from Atlanta to L.A., so it was a long flight. And Charles the whole time is just head on a swivel looking for anybody who knows who she is.
Oh.
And then,
was she talking the whole time?
Coochie,
coochie. Oh, did she bring out her flamenco guitar just to draw attention to herself?
God.
She talked the whole flight, didn't she?
Yes, and all the older people in coach came up with their grandkids who have no idea who she is, and she's doing the like coochie coochie. And it's like, oh, it was awful.
I love it.
I would have died if I got the opportunity to meet Little Richard. It would have blown my mind.
But I think Ryan didn't feel that way.
He is one of the only rock and roll legends from the 1950s that's still alive, you know? So that would have been amazing to see him. But great call. Thank you very much. Hey, let's go to William in Orange. He's on line three. He actually worked for an airline for a long time.
Oh, wow.
He's got something to weigh in on this about celebrities sitting next to civilians. William, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
So basically what we try to do is we try to put celebrities away from civilians as much as possible. So we will even sometimes celebrities will buy three rows where they're in the middle and there's a whole buffer row between each of them.
Is that right?
Wow. Oh, my gosh. We have a caller on another line who said he saw that with Tiki Barber on a plane. He bought a whole row of seats for himself. But I would imagine a lot of times celebrities are traveling with their people, too, and you can kind of put them around to kind of insulate the famous person.
Sometimes we do. There's some people that don't buy the seats, but we give it to them anyways. People like Peter Hernandez, you might know him as Bruno Mars, but so he, like we gave him a whole couple of rows, even though he only bought his two seats.
Why are you an enabler? Why am I getting bumped off flights because freaking Bruno Mars needs six?
Well, we didn't. No. We only gave him one row. All his row to himself.
You didn't get bumped off anything, Bean.
But no, you know what I'm saying here, though. Don't give celebrities extra empty seats.
We don't ever oversell our flights, and we will never bump anybody off.
What airline is this?
Yeah, what airline does not oversell flights?
William?
I can tell you, but I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. I insist we do just one more real fast. Let's make it Barbie, line eight, please. Let's talk about the biggest star in the world at the height of his fame. And you get on a plane, Barbie, and you're sitting next to who?
I'm sitting next to Eddie Murphy back in 1987.
Oh, whoa.
Like the guy just said, I was the only white girl in first class because his whole entire entourage was with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we just took off from LAX to go to New York City, and we lost an engine. And so the captain comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, we just lost an engine. We're going to have to dump some fuel into the Pacific Ocean and head back to LAX for emergency landing. Eddie Murphy got up, didn't miss a beat, and went throughout the plane entertaining everyone.
No way.
Is that right?
It is true.
Just and like doing comedy back, and working the crowd?
Just working the crowd.
Because
you're circling down
for a long time.
That's
awesome.
And was working the crowd, going back into coach, telling everybody, you know, just trying to get them to calm down because everybody was panicking. And I got to New York City because we had to get off that flight and get on another flight. So when I got to New York City, the next day I went into the grocery store, and there it was on people. Eddie Murphy in tragic plane crash entertains folks while they're dying to their death.
Oh, no.
A lot of death talk in that headline.
Yeah, none of which happened.
That's amazing.
That is a great story. And isn't it so funny that the impression I get is that years later, he became the most introverted, shyest, quietest person in the world.
Yeah,
right?
I wondered, Barbie, when I saw that you had called, if he was sort of a-hole-ish at the height of his career.
But it sounds like no.
At first, when I walked into first class and, like, there was all of his entourage and stuff, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be a bad flight. But then he was, like, totally cool. Like, when the pilot came on and was like, you know, sorry, folks, but we're going to have to go back to LAX.
No, we got it. It sounds like an awesome experience. Yeah.
He didn't even miss a beat. He was just so kind to everybody and was like, calm down. It's going to be okay.
That's amazing. That really is amazing.
I love that.
I think we heard from some people talking about nice celebrities today.
Right?
In general. Sounds like it's a good deal if you sit next to one. Thanks for calling, everybody.
Hey, you guys. Dave is in the studio, and I don't know whether to.
Dave has a very special assignment.
Do I turn up his microphone?
Not yet. I'll ask for Dave. I'm gonna need him in a couple of minutes because it's time for Kevin and Bean's Animal Stories.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza. it's a rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
We're out of time. Dave, thank you for coming in. I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to get to your story. It's a great week in animal stories, you guys, and we got to start in France. I'm sure you saw the story of the horny dolphin that is terrorizing the French coastal town.
Did see that.
The lovelorn dolphin, whose name is Zafar. Zafar, are you with me? Are you listening to the program today? Zafar has prompted a French coastal town to ban bathing on its beaches. They've cleared the beaches because of this overexcited dolphin that is trolling the water there. The mayor needs it bad. The mayor has issued a ban on voluntarily approaching within 50 meters of the dolphin and has outlawed all bathing and diving from the district's beaches whenever the animal is spotted in local waters. By the way, Zafar, what have you been doing? You've been bumping up against boats and swimmers, too? You even lifted a woman up with your snout? A specialist in marine manholes.
Someone give the dolphin some.
Nearby said the dolphin could accidentally cause serious injuries with her tail fin. So I guess be careful, you guys. I've never heard of not being able to go to the beach because of a sex-crazed dolphin.
Yeah, that is odd.
But it does sound like fun. Well, good luck, Safar. I hope you find somebody. I hope you saw this
video.
Was
that thank you?
It was.
I hope you guys saw this video. It went viral a few days ago. I've never read nor seen The Shining, and I know that makes me a bad person.
You're because a terrible
it's
person.
I know. It's one of the all-time classic movies.
Next time you're yelling at Allie for what she hasn't seen.
Thank you.
Look, you can't see them all, as Allie always says. It's the Stanley Hotel is the real-life location where The Shining movie was shot with Jack Nicholson. And in that movie, of course, there's a torrent of blood that takes over the elevator. There's those creepy twin girls down the hallways. Well, that's the same hotel that was in the news. And this video is amazing because in the middle of the night in the lobby, a bear walks through the doors and just takes its time strolling around the entire lobby, gets up on the couch, gets up on the coffee table.
Get the remote, watch TV.
Didn't sit down and watch TV. Just looking for food. Allie, did you see the video?
No, I can't wait. I love bears.
It's so crazy. They have surveillance video in the lobby there, and he eventually does just leave on his own. He just walks his way out. The manager of the hotel said, yeah, the hotel is next to a national park, so wildlife is part of the gig.
Hey, keep your doors closed.
Well, I mean, I think, you know how hotels are, you just kind of push on the doors. They're not locked at night. You just push them, and a bear could easily do that. But at least he didn't find any food, and better, at least there weren't any people in there. That could have been an ugly encounter.
Could have been red rum.
Exactly, right? See, I understand the reference, even though I didn't see the thing. One more bear story, by the way, and I need to find out more details on this. So a lot of bears up in your folks' part of the country, right, Allie? Up in Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, a lot of bears up
there. Sure.
This lady is 71 years old, and she gets up on the morning of July 17th, and she discovers that there is a black bear in her kitchen who attacks her in her own kitchen.
Oh, no.
And she loses an eye.
Oh, no.
Which is awful. She's trying to get out of there. She does get away from the bear. Miraculously, she doesn't get killed, and she is able to call 911, and they do send the police out. The bear is still in the home when they arrive. Apparently, he could get in, but he couldn't get out or something like that. Mm. So they're able to take him out of there. She says, I don't blame the bear. It's just bears being bears. I'm not going to let anything get me down. So she's got a fantastic attitude about it. But, I mean, we always talk about how random life is. She's a 71-year-old woman who just wakes up and goes down for coffee in her home. And the next thing you know, she's on the ground. A bear is taking her eye out.
Minus an eye. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I you can only look at it as she's lucky. You know what I mean? Even though that's a horrible thing to have.
I was going
to
say, bragger. You can only look at it.
All right, Dave, get ready. I'm going to need you here in a second. There is an accident-prone koala bear in Australia, South Australia, at the Fauna Rescue, who has now been rescued for the third time. This is a very unlucky koala. First, he was found at the bottom of a tree back in January of 2016, unresponsive. Subsequently, he spent a week at the fauna rescue until he was well enough to be released back into the wild. So they thought, well, I don't know what happened there, but he seems okay. By the way, Koala does not have a name here, so we'll just call him Dave. Dave, what happened that time you were at the bottom of the tree? Do you know? Is that really what Koala sounded like?
What's happening right now?
I feel like he's filled with the devil.
Is that what Koala sound like?
Yeah.
Really? I asked Dave because he's been to Australia. He's partnered with koalas. In an unlucky twist of fate, the fauna rescue then had to care for the same koala bear again in November of 2016 after he was hit by a car. He spent more time in their care and then was okay and released
again.
This is
a dumb koala bear.
Yeah, well, he's real dumb.
I don't know what's going on. So now he's back in the news, and you have to see the photo. It's the cutest thing. He was rescued again this week because he tried to climb under a fence to go somewhere. And then he sat up, and he got his head caught in the fence. And dumbest thing you've ever seen, because there's like 5 inches at the bottom of the fence, between the bottom of the fence and the ground. So he shimmied under and then sat up, and now his head got caught in the bars. All he has to do is sit back down. He just has to lower his head. He can climb under the fence, but he doesn't know that.
What a dumbass.
He is a dumbass. The article says he doesn't have the brains to bob back down and get out. Some are considering that maybe he missed his volunteer friends at the fauna rescue and he wanted them to visit again. He was quite calm. He was just sitting there as if he knew them and let them take him and let them free him from the fence. Your final thoughts, Mr. Koala. That's not an exciting animal news.
No.
I think we may need to go back to the dolphin for close this segment of Animal Stories Out. There you go. This has been Animal Stories.
Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues.
I didn't want to do this story. I don't... Allie, you know what I'm talking about. Unavoidable. The kids insisted... All they do is write to us and say, can't wait to hear you guys talk about this. Please do the story. I mean,
so you don't have a choice.
I don't have a choice. It's our brand, okay?
Sometimes we don't love our brand.
Right.
Sometimes your brand makes us gag.
This is our lot in life. And again, it's not my choice. I don't want to do it, but I have to. It's a responsibility to the kids.
Just a note. That's still okay.
All right.
Okay. The headline is doctors remove a live worm crawling under woman's face. Now, we don't need to talk about that. Don't automatically think that it's horrible. Okay,
it could be really great.
No, no, it wasn't great, but there's no harm, no foul. She's fine. Okay, and apparently, when this happens, and it happens infrequently, but more frequently than it used to, apparently you are fine. It's inconvenient and it's a little bit scary, but there's no damage done. All right, so I'm putting the upside on it first.
Okay, right? That's the upside.
A Russian woman bugged by a strange lump on her face was even more shocked to discover the cause a live worm. According to the New England Journal of Medicine, the 32-year-old woman first noticed strange nodules below her left eye. She took a picture of it, by the way. It later moved above her eye and then down to her upper lip.
The moving part would really disturb me.
Yeah, and if you saw her lip... It's like out to here.
Oh,
it is disgusting.
Now, it would disturb you, yes, Kevin, if you knew it was a worm. Wouldn't it confuse you if you didn't make the connection in your head to I have a live animal living inside my face?
I think the fact that it's moving would lead me to at least guess that maybe that's what's happening because injuries don't move for the most part.
Yeah,
I pretty much stay where they are.
I think I would be slow on the uptake on that one. I think it would take me a long time to
realize. If it was under your eye and it went all the way to your lip,
I'm really dumb, you guys. She told doctors the nodules appeared after she visited a rural area outside Moscow where she was bitten repeatedly by mosquitoes. The nodules caused occasional itching and burning, but she said she had no other symptoms. So doctors identified the suspect, which is a long parasitic roundworm.
Ooh.
Called the Dirofilaria repens. It typically is spread by mosquitoes and hosted by dogs and other carnivores. They remove the squirming lump. God, I love that. The squirming lump.
No, that's terrible.
Oh, that's
Who's hungry?
That is...
Ain't nobody got time for that.
That is rich.
From the woman's face using local anesthetic and a pair of forceps. It could have been worse, by the way, according to a physician who studies infectious diseases in Rostov, Russia. She told NPR that in 20% of cases, the worms can move considerable distances. They can start in your upper eyelid and travel your body all the way down to your buttocks.
Oh, my God. Allie's showing me a picture. This is gross.
Yes.
Even worse, the worm can live up to 2 years in the human body if it isn't removed.
All right, then.
And that ain't right.
All right, then.
She is fine, by the way, again. And I led with that just so you know it's not a terrible story, but it's not great.
Mm-mm.
It's not what you want.
No.
It's not what you choose.
Mm-mm.
But doctors do recommend that if you have this, it's easier to diagnose and help the doctor quickly identify that it is this parasitic worm if you do take selfies along the way as it moves around your face and or body. So that's good advice for the listeners.
Right? Sure.
Right. Well, now we have to worry, like, oh, you have a bump under your eye. Could that be a worm?
And you're looking at it every single day to see if it move a little bit.
And then you get a zit over here. You're like, it moved over there. I mean, now I'm terrified. This isn't good.
This is a terrifying, horrible story.
A half hour away from giving away tickets to K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas and Bud Light backstage passes for night two.
That's a good deal. I'm glad we're doing something for the early risers.
Correct.
Because you deserve it, people. Believe it or not, this is Christmas music related, but I did not see this.
What?
Allie sent it to me.
Mm.
There are a lot
of you that those of you that don't know Bean well, there's nothing that you can say, hey, Bean, have you heard? Oh, of course, yeah.
Yes.
I saw that 3 days ago. Nothing on any topic, let alone Christmas music.
Well, yeah. I like to say topical.
That was one of the first things I noticed working here.
Is that right?
I was like, what services he signed up for? what
you can't surprise Bean with anything.
I like to say Christmas music is my passion, though. It's how I spend my spare time throughout the years. I work on my Christmas music playlist. I go and search the internet and look for Christmas songs I like that I can add to my playlist.
Did you ever start the podcast, Christmas music 365 days a year?
No, because, you know, it's tough to put copyrighted music
copyright,
in a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, Allie sent me this list, and this is in not any particular order, but the editors and writers from the St. Louis Dispatch newspaper have put together their list of the worst Christmas songs that people love. Okay?
In
other words, these are classic. These aren't obscure Christmas songs for the most part. There are a couple that maybe not everyone's going to be familiar with, but for the most part, these are classic songs that get played on the radio that people love, but just as many people are aware people hate, too.
Now, was this before or after the new William Shatner album?
I think this was before, Jetson.
Okay.
And I take some exceptions with this list because there are songs on this list that I adore. There are also songs that they are spot on that are terrible. But the worst Christmas song of all time is 12 Days of Christmas by anyone, and that's not even on this list. And that's horrible.
That is absurd.
Mm-hmm. That's a terrible song that goes on for a billion
years. It only lasts a billion years, though, in its defense.
And it couldn't be more repetitive.
It is the row, row, row your boat of December.
Yes, exactly. So I just thought we'd play some quick clips of some of these songs and see if you would put them in terrible songs or if they're Christmas songs that you don't mind hearing.
Well, it sounds to me like this category is both. They're terrible songs that you like.
This is the editors of the St. Louis Dispatch, though. They say these are the songs they hate. Each one.
Okay.
All the reporters and editors nominated a song that they hate.
Even Jim.
Jim especially.
Jim hates everything.
Does he?
Guys.
Is that guy?
Huh. Here's the first one. And again, I think this is going to be split right down the middle. I love this song. Kevin, I think you hate it.
Okay.
I mean, that's Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
And people are really split on this song. What do you think, Jensen? What do you think, Allie, on Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney?
I go in the good pile.
I agree.
I love it when it comes on. I always enjoy hearing
that song. Are we in a pile?
Yeah, I'm making a pile. I'm doing it.
By the way, I'm sure this isn't true anymore in the age of streaming music, but if you go to the Wikipedia page for Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney, last time it was updated, it said he made around $400,000 a year, every year, from that song.
Wow.
From that song alone?
Yes, because of that song and the hundreds of cover versions of that song.
I need to write a crappy version of a Christmas song.
Here's another classic Christmas song that's been around for 60 years. I love it. What do you guys think about Little Drummer Boy? Any thoughts on Little Drummer Boy?
It's not a good song.
It's not good.
It's a bad pile.
Yeah, it's a downer for me.
Is it a downer? If you listen to the lyrics, it's about the little kid who goes to visit the baby Jesus and doesn't have any money.
But
to
who listens to the lyrics? You're just like, nah.
And he didn't. Like, people were busy with, like, frankincense and myrrh. That kid didn't show up.
Also, not a good drummer. There's no good drumming in that song.
Agree.
You know, I never realized that. All right, here's one you may not know. It's a country classic, though, most recently done by Alan Jackson. The original was done by John Denver, though. Here's how this one goes.
How quick can I put it in the bad pile?
Right?
What is this?
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas.
No, sir.
And then he said, I don't want to see my mommy cry.
Yes.
That's the best song ever.
That is so dark.
That honestly is too real.
Flashing you back to your childhood.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
We're going to run out of time on
this. No, we're not.
We may have to roll this over, you
we
guys.
We can do that. We can keep going.
Because when you did bring up Little Drummer Boy, I do want to bring the Justin Bieber Busta Rhymes version into the mix
as
well.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, so maybe we do this later also. Okay, go on.
Really? They did one too? All right. Here's another all-time classic. You don't hear it as much as you used to, but it was on the radio for decades and decades. Do you guys know I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas?
Yes.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus.
I sensed that you couldn't hit the radio button fast enough if that came on, Kevin.
I'm out.
That is a 10-year-old Gayla Peavy from back in 1953, who I have followed her career since.
Of course you have.
Oh, my God.
And she is still alive. And, in fact, from time to time, they fly her to various zoos around the world.
I'm sorry, zoos?
Yes, when they get a new hippopotamus. She's there for the unveiling of the hippopotamus to the public because she's the I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas lady.
And she does the song even at an old age?
Yes.
Oh, creepy.
That same voice.
Creepy.
In that same voice.
A little dress and like a lollipop.
So that's only four. That's a little less than half. Should we take a break and come back and do some more?
Yes, please.
All right, we'll be right back. 5 minutes from right now, we'll tell you how you can win your tickets for night number two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas coming up here on K-Rock. All right, we're talking about a list in the St. Louis Dispatch newspaper where everybody who contributes to the paper there contributed a song that they hate, a Christmas song that they hate that other people seem to really, really like. It's a very divisive topic. There's some people who have no time for any kind of Christmas music.
True.
Some people like me like maybe too much of it. Daniel weighs in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account at Kevin and Bean. Little Drummer Boy is my mom's favorite and was mine until I listened to Jensen Get Up On It, a Punch Up the Jam a few months back, and now that song is kind of ruined for me. What's he talking about there, Jensen?
When we had Demi Ajayi in here for Punch Up the Jam podcast, he told us that Little Drummer Boy, they had made it better, and then we played it, and it was just the Little Drummer Boy you know, but with a ton of drum solos.
What's the version that you mentioned in the last segment as we were debating that song?
Yeah, this is Justin Bieber and Busta Rhymes doing Little Drummer Boy, and I think it's probably the worst Christmas song ever made.
I mean, I gotta be honest, that's almost so bad it's good.
It's
almost that bad.
In the video, he's very, very young. It was like young Bieber. Oh. And then Busta Rhymes, who doesn't look like the Busta Rhymes you remember, is sort of just running around behind him. It's very bad.
It doesn't have a great Christmas feeling to it.
No,
it doesn't. Seems aggressive.
By the way, if K-Rock were ever to play a version, the Joan Jett version is pretty awesome of Little Drummer Boy. All right, let's get back to the list. This, again, was nominated by a writer for the St. Louis Dispatch. I think this is going to be very controversial in the room. There are reasons why some people hate this song. What do you guys think about Begging Dade? Especially the part where Bono says, what's the line? Tonight, thank God it's them and not us, or whatever it is.
But tonight, thank God it's them instead of you.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought you said, what do you think of Begging Dave?
Me
I'm
too.
Like, who's Begging Dave?
Band-Aid. I said Band-Aid.
Didn't no, sound you like didn't. It at all.
Either way, it's in my bad pile.
Oh, I love it. No, I love it. Love.
And there's
What do you think, Kevin?
Move.
Do they know it's Christmas? You won't listen to that when it comes
out. No.
Because a lot of people love it because they have fond memories of it coming out with the video and Boy George and George Michael and the Police and everybody else being in it. You know, it was kind of a big event, a big deal at the time.
But I think, being like you described that you like too much music, I think I like too little just because you've heard everything so many times and there's no good new stuff. And I probably like less than the
average person. That one's been ruined for you just for being played for the last 30 years.
Yes.
And there's also something about... These are people in Africa who really, they're probably not Christians. So why would they care if it's Christmas? You know what I mean? There's a little bit of that going on, too.
Jesus.
Wow.
No, but I'm serious.
But I mean, Christmas is...
Yeah, plot twist. A lot of people that aren't Christians
is for non-religious.
Care about Christmas.
I don't know. Is it big in Africa?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, I don't
it
know
It might
either.
Have been after this song because they didn't know yet.
Here's an all-time classic that we used to play here on the Kevin and Bean Show back in the 90s, but for some reason, and I can't put my finger on it, it's fallen out of favor a little bit. It's from the great Tiny Tim.
Oh, this is Santa Claus saying I won't be around this year. I'm a bit sick. Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
Yeah, I don't feel like
what?
That.
What?
And
he
won't be around to spread his Christmas cheer.
That's not real.
Wait, you've never heard that?
No.
Yeah.
Allie's never heard that.
That's going in your bad pile, Jensen?
No. I was saying I know it, but I think it's... I mean, I love it. I was just saying I know the song. I just think it's so funny because Tiny Tim, it's like, this came out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
That's the guy with a little ukulele?
Yeah, this is late career Tiny Tim, which was a lot different than Tiny Tim.
1996.
Better
Tiny Tim.
Yeah, he got real weird at the end.
Possibly the most famous ukulele player of all time, by the way.
Well, until you start.
Right. Until I get going. I got to get that lesson going. All right, here's another one that doesn't get played very much anymore. Allie, you would have heard this for years growing up listening to, if you listen to K-Earth, for instance. This was all the way back in the 1960s by a singer named Lou Monte.
Hey, jingity-jing. It's down. Dominic the Donkey, jiggity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey.
Do they fly this guy to every donkey petting zoo?
Every donkey show.
What? No, he's not playing donkey shows.
Dominic the Donkey.
I've never heard that.
He's huge in Tijuana.
It was a classic that was played for 40 years, Kevin.
No,
and his follow-up, Pepino the Italian Mouse, too, by the way.
Oh, sure. He hit the well twice.
All right, two more on the list, by the way.
We could do this all day.
Right? I know. Yeah. This is one that I got to be honest, I hated from the minute I heard it, and it was so popular, it was turned into a TV show, it was turned into a movie. Y'all remember Elmo and Patsy.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
This is the one I was going to suggest.
Walking it's my bad pile.
Christmas Eve.
I mean... I don't think it gets played much anymore, but do you remember how you couldn't get away from this song?
Yeah.
As a little kid, I lived for this song. Like that, it was so funny.
Really?
Yes.
As a little kid. What was your ruling on whether you should open up the grandma's gifts or send them back?
Oh, yeah. You open them.
You open them up.
Yeah, for sure.
And send them back. Don't take yelling at the end.
And I saved the worst for last.
Oh, you did?
What about the donkey? That's not the worst for last?
No, I saved the worst for last because it's very difficult. As Kevin mentioned, there are very few new Christmas songs that come out that become standards. Obviously, Mariah Carey, in the last 25 years, she's created a monster that's going to live forever. Sure. All I Want for Christmas is You. It's one of the best Christmas songs of all time, in my opinion, by the way. Here's one of the only other few songs that has broken through and has become a modern standard that gets played every year. And it's that goddamn Christmas Shoes song.
Oh, no.
My new song, which I couldn't hate anymore. Let's hear a little of that, shall we?
Sure, I want to buy shoes for my mama.
Little kid in a store buying shoes at the counter.
It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size.
Oh, the shoes are just her size. What's she going to be wearing them for, do you think?
Could you
Oh, what's the rush?
Daddy says there's not much time.
Not much time. Why, what's mom got going on?
She's been sick for quite a while.
Oh, she's sick?
No, these shoes will make us.
How will the shoes help her?
One or two to be if mama meets Jesus tonight.
Oh. F you right in those shoes.
Oh,
right?
Can you do that?
He wouldn't care about the shoes. Come on.
That's not how Jesus works. I'm sure of it.
I'd cry if every time.
I'm sorry, Allie.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
It's the worst. It's the most manipulative.
Allie is literally crying.
It's a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Jesus, and she wants to make
shoes. Oh, Jesus has never shown any emphasis towards shoes. It's not needed. Save the money.
All right. Okay, we have tickets.
Allie, calm down.
By the way, Allie cried while Bean was ruining that song, too. She couldn't even hear it without Bean making fun of it.
All right, wow.
We have tickets for night two of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas and Bud Light Backstage Passes for night number two. If you want to call right now, we don't have a hint for the game, right?
No, just maybe know what it's like to hear a machine.
That's our hint. So 1-800-520-1067.
One hour from right now here on the show, we're going to be looking for your stories of bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. I understand that those parties can really get out of control for a 13-year-old recipient.
Sure. Yeah.
They can be insane, right?
Yep.
We're going to be looking for some tips on what to know about bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs as DJ Omar Khan and Beer Mug are working at one this weekend.
The Mitzvah Brothers.
The Mitzvah Brothers.
I love it.
Great. That is coming up this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. But first, Kevin, what have you learned about people all these years you've been working on the show?
People are dumb.
Dumb.
This one comes out of Texas. A woman, 30 years old, was disguised during a robbery. On November 2nd, a Texas woman wearing an oversized dog head from one Halloween costume and wings from another robbed a Houston convenience store before leading cops on a car chase.
Oh, wow.
It's genius because they'll never find her in that outfit.
Well, that's what you would think, sure, Bean. According to investigators, Colleen Dickens, the 30-year-old mother of two, robbed a Stripes store of... The total haul was cigarettes and $10 in cash.
Oh, man.
She then fled the scene in a car, but it didn't take the cops long to find her because she didn't take the costume dog head off.
Oh, she was driving with it?
Yeah, so they're just, I'm guessing that's her right there wearing the dog head.
Oh, she's got to be better.
After a short chase, Dickens emerged from her car still wearing the dog's head.
Wow.
She's committed.
She's committed, right?
Yeah, she is.
What if she's just ugly? There was no dog's head.
Those people are ugly.
That's just sad.
That is sad. This one comes out of...
Usually the dogs just chase the car. They don't drive the car.
Why would she leave that on the whole time?
Idiot.
She's not making great choices.
This story comes out of Washington. A judge removed his robe.
Oh.
And ran after two handcuffed inmates who made a run for it in a Washington state courtroom.
That doesn't sound like the judge's job. Isn't there a bailiff for that?
There's video of this. The guy's name is Judge K.D. Buzzard. And apparently 20-year-old Tanner Jacobson and 28-year-old Cody Howard literally were standing in front of the judge and just immediately turned and just made a run for it.
Handcuffed.
Yes.
Where do they think they're going to go?
I don't know. But Judge threw off the robe and ran after him and caught one of the guys before he got out of the building.
Impressive.
You do not want to be caught by the judge.
No, not Judge Buzzard.
Right? both were charged with second-degree escape. This one is napping American Airlines baggage handler trapped in cargo hold. On flight to Chicago, an American Airlines baggage handler fell asleep on the job and ended up flying from Kansas City to Chicago in the belly of a Boeing 737.
Oh, God.
The employee who works at Kansas City International Airport was working on the ramp for an American Flight 363 on Saturday when he apparently took a nap inside the cargo hold before the flight.
I respect it.
Nobody noticed that he was missing, and the plane took off at 5:52 a.m. local time. And the worker was still in the forward cargo hold, and they landed in Chicago before he woke up.
Wow.
You know, I don't know very much about the belly of the plane, but that's not heated, right?
I don't believe so.
Isn't it like, you're 40,000 feet in the air. It's super cold in there where your luggage is.
He was pretty warm, though, because the Chicago Police Department questioned him, and he said that he was way drunk.
Okay,
all right.
Keeps the chill off.
Hungover, drunk, and just passed out.
He was stunned.
He had no idea. He wakes up, he gets off the plane. He's in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
You don't expect that when you take a little nap at work.
That does not seem ideal. This one comes out of Georgia. Authorities say a 34-year-old man accused of robbing a Subway restaurant earlier this month was captured in Tennessee.
He was robbing restaurants in a couple of different states. The police department said the suspect, later identified as Zachary Miller, walked into a restaurant around 10:15 a.m. They said he ordered a sandwich, and he stood there and watched her make the sandwich. Mm-hmm. Then he jumped the counter and said, "Give me the money." After he had his sandwich made.
Huh.
He's wearing a baseball cap.
Okay.
So takes the money, approximately $100, and runs out.
Okay.
About 30 to 45 seconds later, he comes back in without the baseball hat to get his sandwich.
Oh, baby.
At which point they identified him.
Oh, honey.
Because he forgot the sandwich.
Oh, dear.
You go to a different Subway at that point, right?
And finally, the worst criminals in one part of this world.
Six would-be robbers walked into an e-cigarette shop in the Belgian suburb of Charleroi in broad daylight, ready to make away with whatever was in the register. But according to BBC News, the quick-thinking clerk told the ne'er-do-wells to come back later, saying that if they did, he would have 2,000 to 3,000 euros waiting for them.
Oh, no.
They told him to come back.
And they
I love that they called them ne'er-do-wells, too, by the way.
So.
And they actually believed him. The surprised clerk immediately called the police, who were sure the group wouldn't return. But they did. An hour before closing, one of the robbers came back, and the clerk.
I just want you to understand.
Yet again suggested they return at closing time instead.
So the clerk says, look, I know I told you to come back last hour, but I'm going to have a lot more money at closing time.
Sure. Yeah, cash is just pouring in here. If you just wait a couple hours, man, it's going to be a take.
She called the police, and the police were like, he's not going to come back.
There's no
way. They're not going to come back. That's ridiculous. She got him to come back two different times.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And when they came back for the third and final time, the cops were waiting for them. Five men were arrested, and according to the clerk, quote, they're being called the worst robbers in Belgium.
Come on. At least you got a title out of it.
It's crazy.
The worst robbers in Belgium. And that's
dumb.
A little bit later on this morning, we're going to talk to Dr. Drew. We've got People Are Dumb. We've got tickets for WonderCon. Just after 7 o'clock, about a half hour from now, we have tickets for April Foolishness. And, I mean, good luck. Good luck with this game.
Really?
Yeah, this is Laferoki.
Oh, no.
Right. So Omar comes in, DJ Omar Khan comes in, and he tries to recreate famous people's laughs.
Yeah.
And he's usually nowhere near.
He thinks he's dead on, though.
He does. He's very proud of himself.
Yeah, which is a gift, really.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a little bit of that as well.
Do you?
Yeah. A little more confidence than you should have in your ability. But anyway, that's coming up just after 7 o'clock. First, it's time for Cheers with Beer Mug.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow. Right? Mugs, tell me about you and your bar. Same bar every time?
Same bar every time. The only time I did not go to this bar was when I did Cheers with Beer Mug at Lightning's going away party.
Okay.
So we went back to O'Grady's in Granada Hills. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
it's the same group every time you go?
For the most part, it's like the television show Cheers. You walk in and the same people are at their spots and, hey, Phil, hey, Bob, hey, John.
And you're one of them now?
And I am one of them.
Is that right? So when you walk in, they greet you, hey, Mugs?
I feel like a celebrity in there.
All right.
Tone it down a bit. All right. So you have the K-Rock microphone. Mm-hmm. You wander around. You talk to people who are drinking.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you ask them questions, and they all give you some pretty interesting answers. What was the question this week?
Question this week, of course, you know, we're coming off a very wild St. Patrick's Day weekend, and there's a lot of imbibing. So I wanted to see what the best cure for a hangover was.
Oh, see, that's genius. Because people that drink all night probably have the answer to that.
Absolutely.
All right, so what's the cure to a hangover?
I'm here with Big John. Big John, I'm trying to... Hold on. Test 1, 2. I'm here with Big John. Test. I'm here with Big John. Big John, what's the best...
Can I just butt in and say, why do you keep testing?
I don't know.
It's not the microphone, not recording, isn't the issue. It's you saying things.
I might have been a couple down already.
No, aware of that, but I'm saying even then, you're the problem, not the mic. So you check it every time before you then try again.
You're trying to find out why I do what I do, Kevin? It's impossible.
You just keep doing what you're doing is what I mean.
I'm here with Big John. Big John, I'm trying to... Hold on. Test 1, 2. I'm here with Big John. Test. I'm here with Big John. Big John, what's the best? I'm here with Big John. Big wow. John, what's the best cure for a hangover?
Well, in my personal experience, the best cure for a hangover is possum stew.
So I'm here with Veronica, not Vanessa.
No
Veronica,
follow-up to possum stew?
Sounds good to me.
I mean, did you not have any follow-up questions or just the way it was edited?
It was normal.
So you said, yeah, okay, possum stew.
Sweet. Where can I get some?
You didn't even ask that.
I know.
All right.
So I'm here with Veronica, not Vanessa. Veronica, not Vanessa, what is the best cure for a hangover?
You got to clear out your stomach, so you got to make yourself vomit.
Nice.
Okay. Followed by a little bit of sex.
Ooh. Ooh, you know, I'm sensing.
After you brush your teeth, of course.
Ooh. Is that a noise you ever want to hear Beer Mug make? Oh. Ooh. Now, is Vanessa not Victoria? Is she,
Vanessa not Veronica? Or Veronica not Vanessa?
Is she, you know, hot?
Yeah. Ramson, what's the best cure for a hangover? You're a bartender, so you should know.
Mimosa. You got to brunch hard every time you
Wait, what?
I'm here with Alex the White Russian. Alex the White Russian, what is the best hangover cure?
Oh, In-N-Out 4x4, animal style fries, and a large iced tea and a blunt.
You're speaking my language.
Oh, child, you know.
A little bit of the hair of a dog that bit you, you know. You have to have a little bit, if you're coming out, the same stuff you were drinking the day before or night before.
What if the stuff you were drinking the night before made you violently ill?
That's even better, because you've got your stomach clean, it's empty, you need another bit of a bite.
Clyde, what's the best cure for a hangover?
Well, it's always worked for me. A nice little, you know, oral pleasure. It drains the poison out. You know?
Was he giving you a look right then, Muggs? Like,
yeah.
Huh?
Tapping
and
his foot.
And relieves the headache and relaxes you so you can go back to sleep.
Oh, my God. That is a fantastic answer, Clyde.
Best way to cure a hangover at that moment. At that moment, there's nothing you could do about it. Gatorade don't work. You just got to either do another shot or drink again. But at the end of the day, we have all kinds of technology in the world, but not one person created a pill or a drink to cure hangovers. And that's so crazy.
Elon Musk is the next guy to do it, probably, right?
If he's not too busy,
now,
right?
Here's my favorite guy. The pause after this guy says it. It's a shame technology hasn't done it. The long pause, and then Muggs comes in with so little energy. Elon Musk's guess.
And that's so crazy.
Elon Musk is the next guy to do it, probably, right?
Excuse me?
Elon Musk is the next guy to probably do it.
Well, he put a plane in or a car in the Mars or something like that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can do it. He put a car on Mars. Did you guys know that?
That was at the end of the night, I think.
Really? What a surprise. So none of them really know.
Yeah, I think there were some good tips in there. Allie?
I mean, there's nothing new. It's hair in the dog and it's throw up. I mean, you sure?
I mean. Allie's pointing.
Allie's pointing at the junk, sure. That always helps. But other than that, not really. Maybe we have to do the phone topic again relatively soon with people because they seem to always have their own answer, what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
But none of the people at Muggs' bar do.
So. Menudo.
Can't eat menudo.
No. My people make a mean menudo.
No, thank you.
Your chance to win tickets for night number two, the sold-out night number two of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas happening in less than 1 hour from right now. Speaking of Christmas, by the way, we attempted to come up with a list of our favorite Christmas songs on the air the other day, and I would say failed pretty badly.
I think it went pretty well.
We were trying to get a consensus on a top five greatest Christmas songs of all time. And clearly, we were doomed from the start because neither Kevin nor Ralph would put Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You on the list. So therefore, the entire list is lame.
Says the loser.
But then the other problem is, as our listeners pointed out, is how do you talk about the greatest Christmas music of all time and not include Fruitcake? There was not a mention of Fruitcake in the entire discussion.
Yeah.
No fruitcake, no peace, right?
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
That's an awesome song.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
It is our favorite, and around this time of year, we start getting emails and tweets and Facebook page requests for a little Fred Schneider fruitcake. Could we hear some of that, please? And then maybe we need to talk about some of the other great Christmas songs that we didn't get a chance to do when we were putting our list together.
We did only come up with four of the top five, by the way.
Now, you hated this originally, Kevin, but I think you have come around, right?
What you making? Fruitcake! What you baking? Fruitcake! Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries, green ones too, it's fruitcake!
No, you know, I didn't like Fred Schneider that much, but this is genius.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fruitcake! Pecans or walnuts.
Start listing things.
Citrus peel. Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
And what you feel. Sticks of butter. Cinnamon. Mo' molasses. Lots of dark rum. Artificial color.
Okay.
Artificial flavor.
So it's really just a shopping
if
list.
If your family don't want it, exactly. Give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake.
Pretty tough to beat right there.
So that was, heard from a lot of people that said, hey guys, what about Fred Schneider? And then we heard from another contingent of listeners who, you know, God bless him, been with the show for a while, who said, hey, it's not Christmas for me until I hear a little story about Santa on a helicopter. Where was Wing on your list?
Wing is a beautiful song about Santa Claus on a helicopter, not a traditional sleigh cart. Santa Claus!
There it is. There it is.
A helicopter. Santa Claus!
Boy, that's painful.
On a helicopter.
You know what we should do, Bean, and I think this might be part of the problem, is we put one comedy song in our top five. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should take that out, finish our top five greatest songs, and then do top five funniest Christmas
songs.
That's
a good idea. Oh, I
see. And then you can put Fruitcake in there, and you can put Wing in there. Like, otherwise, we don't have room for it.
Well, I think Fruitcake makes the cut either way, but I take your point. Sure, why not?
Santa Claus, he visits us today, December 24th. Wow, he's coming right now in an helicopter. Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Sleigh cart.
She really wants to make that point. Listen, this is how it works. He uses a helicopter, not a traditional
sleigh cart. Because we all call it a sleigh cart.
Right.
He lives in the front yard. Of a nursery.
Of a nursery.
All the babies crying for moms. He feeds them well if they are hungry.
Now, we're not positive what she says there.
We're positive what she doesn't say, though, right? I know it sounds like that, but she doesn't say that.
But if it's what I heard,
it's no way to treat a baby. That's what I have to say.
That's correct.
All right, so that's a Wing, Santa on a Helicopter, which, again, is an all-time Christmas classic. Now, I would like to present for your entertainment a new song this year that I just became hip to, that a band I've never heard of out of the Netherlands. They are named Holy Limit. Now, this is new for this year. Whether this will eventually make the Christmas canon, whether this is going to be part of our all-time favorite holiday songs in the future on the Kevin and Bean Show, I don't know. But I wanted you to hear a little bit of their song called The Christmas Dance. Very catchy, very Gangnam Style.
Do the Christmas dance. Ho, ho, ho.
Like it so far.
I am back in town with my glitter crown. I'll be back every year. Everybody wants to cheer. White beard and Christmas hat, my reindeers. Just like that, I ring-a-ling-a-ling, ring-a-ling-a-ling with my Christmas bell. I'm Santa Claus. I'm Santa Claus. I'm Santa Claus.
He's Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I'm Santa Claus.
Backup singer.
I'm Santa Claus. I'm Santa Claus. Santa Claus is back in town. You can stop the countdown. Now dance the Christmas dance. Just like it's the last chance.
The Christmas dance. What do you think?
Oh, oh, oh.
I love it. I love it.
Uh-huh.
I feel a butt coming on.
Well, I think the other two are better than we played so far.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do a little bit more.
Christmas here, Christmas there, weeks, months, every year. Candles, balls, and lots of joy. The snowman is a boy. The presents under the tree. Angels for you and me. I ring-a-ling-a-ling, ring-a-ling-a-ling with my Christmas bell.
All right, so it's no fruitcake, it's no sand on a helicopter, but we play it at the party, right? It makes the party.
Absolutely. By the way, all three of the songs that we just played do nothing but, like, just explain items at Christmas time.
That's right. They're just basically lists.
Reading things that are loosely associated with Christmas. So all good.
Wonderful.
This is a trip you love.
I'm on a you gently.
They formed a band, they named Janisha's. And then they got to pick a destiny.
Rocking and freaking rolling and freaking rocking.
The government totally sucks, you mother trucker.
The government totally sucks.
I am the roller. I make the rock go. It's the rise of the Phoenix. Metal!
Seriously, first of all, the guy's dancing to the intro is awesome.
There's nothing better.
And second of all, Allie, you've been begging for the D. You can't wait for the D.
I don't stop talking about the D.
And the D is here, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Jack Blast, yep. Kyle Gass, triumphant return on K-Rock. How are you, boys?
That's the best way to wake up.
Yes.
To your own glorious package.
Still the best snippets of our best hits.
Sometimes it surprises you as well.
We're good. How are you?
Good.
You have been very busy making the rounds about the post-apocalypto, which we cannot wait to talk about.
Yeah.
You have been everywhere. We have seen way too much of Kyle's body in the How to Draw video.
You love it, though. You make it viral, though.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you did the Hot Wings Challenge, too, which I was fascinated by. For people who don't know what that is, tell folks what that is.
It's a talk show where the host and the guest eat hot wings that start at very mild and get progressively spicier until you get to da bomb, which is it's 1 through 10,
which is only number 8, by the way,
on the heatometer.
Okay,
but number 8 is the hottest one, and it's brutal. And weirdly, it got kind of like a. Intimate. He dug deep with some good questions.
Well, that's their hook. See, they got you off balance.
It was a great interview. But you know, you guys don't have to keep going. You can stop at any time.
You both
ran the table and went all the way to the end and ate the hottest wings in the world.
We heard that like Weird Al Yankovic went the whole way or whatever. It just became it becomes competitive when you find out what celebrities made it all the way through 10. You don't want to be
one
of
them. You don't want to be the loser where they go, Jack Black was in here. He didn't do anything.
And you also don't want to be one of the nibblers, because if you get a reputation for going in there and just taking a tiny little bite of a wang and count that as I ate that wing.
Right.
That's not how we roll.
You're a purist.
We eat the whole damn wing.
Right. I've never seen two people more miserable during an interview, though. I mean, I really thought you were going to have to be taken to the hospital. I really thought you were going to pass out or something.
We did, too.
There's probably been a case of someone dying from too spicy a wang.
Well, like you said, if you get the spice on the wrong part of your body.
Oh, my God.
Bad things can happen.
Is that right?
Yeah. You got to be careful. You got to definitely wash up good before you touch any part of your body after that show.
Yeah. Noted.
Like your wang. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. You want to talk about hot wangs.
So the reason you've been everywhere is because of Post-Apocalypto, which is your new web series available on YouTube.
Yeah.
How is it legally allowed on YouTube?
And not even two. Let's just start with that.
And not even YouTube Red.
Right. No. How did you get this? This is straight up animated pornography. How is it available on the internet?
Well, that would be the case if there were no artistry.
It's called art. It's called art.
Well, yeah, I don't know what you call it, but I wouldn't call it pornography. I think it's actually some of our sweetest stuff we've ever done. There's always an emotional core to the
it's tender
to the sexualization of the D, but. The answer is we tried to go with Netflix and HBO and all of the rest, the Amazons, and they for whatever reason, I think it's because we're ahead of our time. Sure. We're not ready. They weren't able to wrap their heads around the concept. So we were like, we have no choice. We're going YouTubes.
All right.
And God bless them for giving us a platform to put our show on. But there are age restrictions in place.
Yeah, you have to sign in, right.
And not only that, but the age restrictions have like created this little hoop that makes it kind of hard to find the episode. So good luck finding it. If you can find it, I think you're going to love it.
It's never going to be recommended, you know.
Okay. No, you can't. Yeah, because a lot of things on YouTube, you'll just find them randomly. It'll pop up like, oh, here's a new thing. And we're not in that rotation. Okay. You have to actively go and search it out and sign in.
But well, go to your channel. Go to the D channel. That's what you do.
There you go.
All right.
I watch the D channel all day.
It's
like cable news for you. You can't turn it off.
Here's a question I'm sure you've been asked before, especially this one's directed toward you, Mr. Black, and that is, there were no other animators available?
There were, actually.
Oh, there were. Really.
There were people.
That's what he meant.
But they're very expensive. And also, we just wanted to do it ourselves and keep it in-house because we have a theory, and it's based on Beavis and Butthead, that it doesn't have to be a great drawing to be a funny drawing. Like, we could have got a better artist to do all of these drawings, but I don't think it would have been funnier that way. I think it just would have been like, you know.
I agree.
It would have looked like what it should look like.
And it would have been a little less from our subconscious.
Yeah, we'd be in trouble there.
This is very much tenacious. It's the most tenacious D thing we've ever put out.
How many drawings do you have that you didn't use that are just piling up in your house?
Oh, my God. There are so many. He would obsessively draw the drawings, and so there'd be like 14 pictures of a dragon or something.
Yeah. No.
Now, which one shall we use?
At some point, you just go, just give me three choices. That's too much.
I'd rather they didn't know how hard I worked on those copy drawings.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I got a few hundred of them reject.
Wow. Here's what I love about the artistry on this show, though, is that it changes pictures at least every 2 minutes.
It's true. It's not technically an animated film.
Right.
It's more of a
motion
show.
Pictures. It's very slow.
And there's no effort to make the lips move or anything. No. And I just love that.
What do you want, like Clutch Cargo?
Love it. I'm just saying I love it.
Anybody?
But once in a while, like at the end of episode 3 that just dropped on YouTube's.
Today, right?
There is a little animation at the end of that episode on the cliffhanger.
I heard a complaint that there was too much animation.
People
How long did it take you guys to make Post-Apocalypto? You're doing it all yourself. You're doing all the voices, all the animation. How long did the whole process take?
Just over 2 years.
Yeah, story and figuring out the beginning, middle, and end and the arc of the thing. And then the drawing of the pictures took a long time. That was like a full-time job for a while.
Did you ever get annoyed, like people calling, look, we need this artwork done. What's happening with you?
No, because we didn't have a boss.
Because you're in every
no
other
boss.
Movie. Oh, you didn't have a boss. Okay.
No, we didn't have a Showtime or a...
Showrunner?
I want to name a different network every time. I don't want to get hung up on it. We didn't have a Hulu boss saying, hey, where's that artwork?
So you are debuting. We'll see if we get to the end of the series. And there's going to be how many? Six, eight? How many?
Six total. It's a six-episode webisode miniseries.
So we will have heard half of the new Post-Apocalypto album then at that point?
By today, right?
By today,
yeah.
But there are a couple things on the album that are not in the series. A couple bonus.
It's a 21-track album, right?
Yeah,
sweet.
Yeah. The new album comes out on November 2nd. Let me play a clip. Our guests are Jack Black and Kyle Gass. We're talking to Tenacious D here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go to YouTube and watch Post-Apocalypto. Here's one of my favorite clips from the series. It'll give you a little bit of flavor. Now you got to understand that the guys are riding through the desert on a motorcycle.
Tell me why ain't nothing but a mistake, and tell me why.
anything but a heartbreak.
Yeah, tell me why. I never want to hear you say I want it that way.
Did you hear that vibrato?
Uh-huh. Dude, spot on.
I'm in a weirdly good mood for the post-apocalyptic world we live in now.
Yeah,
yeah. Dude, you know what I would give for some glazed ribs?
Oh, man.
Ribs, man.
I mean, that's all you need to know.
Yeah. That's
the series, you guys.
It's like, was that well, wasn't really some story or was points. That Road Warrior? So post-apocalyptic.
A quick break. More with our friends in Tenacious D when we return on K-Rock. Jack Black, Kyle Gass, Tenacious D, greatest band in the world, back in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I can't imagine how many times you guys have come in throughout the many, many years we've been here, but we always appreciate you. I want you to know that.
Oh, dude. Well, the feeling's mutual. I can't.
Now, we're in a different place. You were stopped from parking? What happened, Jack?
Well, the lady is very protective of the parking spaces. The parking lot is totally empty. And she said, you can't park there. That's for...
you think it's the beard?
For VIP.
That's for employees only. And it's I was like, well, I'm kind of an employee. I'm going to be working kind of today. Okay,
right?
Sorry. And then I moved to another parking space. She's like, still no.
She's so like,
you tell me where do I park? She said, way over there in the corner next to the gray car. But I got in. But
you're parking shamed.
She also wanted, where are you going? What are you doing? How long are you going to be here?
Man. Wow.
And then finally she gave me the spot.
Didn't, she was giving you the stink eye. She
didn't
like
trust
you
at all. Well, in her defense, I do have a crazy Unabomber beard going.
Well, I wanted to ask about that because I don't know how competitive you guys are, but Kyle has always been the winner in the beard game.
I know.
And I feel like you're going for it, Jack, and I'm just wondering if this is creating any tension right now.
Yeah, I am finally coming into my own beard power game, but Kyle's is more like a LeBron, I think, right? That's what you were modeling
yours
after.
Or a road production of Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
His looks professional. Yours looks a little homeless, if you don't mind my saying.
No, it's true. But
hipster homeless.
I think it's because of the salt and pepper. I still got a lot of pepper in my beard, but Cage is all Santa all the time.
He is. Yeah. Very Santa. So when people see you on the street, Jack, a lot of times I imagine since you have this janky beard, I'll say it, they go, is that Jack Black? No, he looks terrible. It can't be.
You think the beard is disguising him?
Yes,
I do. Jack put on a Star Wars helmet at a Comic-Con,
and
people recognized him.
They knew it was me from my gait, just from the way
the
I
way
walked.
You walk?
Yeah. And I think I said something to a friend, and they were like, that is absolutely 1,000% Jack Black.
Let's
get busted. There's nothing more embarrassing being busted in a costume you were trying to wear to hide.
I can see that. Yeah,
I love when the celebs wear the ball cap. That's gonna do it.
They'll never know.
It does it for
Leonardo
some of them.
DiCaprio,
right?
Central Park.
Can we talk about Cal Jam for a minute?
Yeah.
How was it for you guys?
Oh man, that was a fun one.
It was actually one of the funner ones.
It was one of the funnest ones. Yeah. It was cool. You drive out there, by couple hours, and
usually
you feel
it's
like
120.
You're out in the country. I felt like I was in, you know,
yeah, you're nowhere near a
in
city.
The sticks. Yeah, and they take over the whole area. It's ginormous, and we wandered out of our trailer to check out this new band. What are they called? Greta Van Fleet.
Right.
And
right.
They were so young and just sexy, young, like Zeppelin looking kids.
You seem angry.
And well, I was angry because I was this is a new generation of rockers. But it felt like we were listening to something from 45 years ago. It was weird. It was a time warp.
But thank God for this festival so rock bands have a place to play, though.
Totally. And then we go up to our stage, and right next to us, there's another band called Black Mountain, and they were sounding fantastic. So we definitely felt like
a little pressure.
We got to take it up a notch, and I think we did. That was one of our better shows, I think. Yeah. Although our shows are all pretty rad.
I mean, really,
that one.
We're talking about the difference between a 9 or a 10. I mean,
but dude, that show, Foo Fighters. Close the show, and they close with a Nirvana reunion.
Yeah. Come on.
That's pretty badass. And you say, wait, but who played Kurt Cobain? They went two people. They went with Joan Jett.
They didn't go hologram.
And I know
didn't go hologram.
They could go hologram. Maybe.
Were you on the side, Jack, going, "I can sing"?
I know. I've always
hey,
said,
"I'm here. I can sing."
I've always said, "Tenacious D should be the new lead singer of Nirvana." But no one's listening.
Wait, you, me, and Dave. We could do
That's
it.
That's right.
Speaking of your friend Dave, he once again is going to be on your record, right? He's playing some
yes.
drums,
it's
some thunder skins, as yeah. you say, on Post Apocalypto.
We got him.
That's fantastic. have you been doing the new songs in concert too?
No, we haven't been playing. We're gearing up for the big unveiling of all the new album.
If they don't know them,
November 3rd is our first official show in New York City.
Okay,
and then we're going on tour, doing East Coast and then West Coast in December. And we've got a big plan for the show. It's going to be kind of like Pink Floyd, The Wall. You know, it's like a concept album concert.
Sure.
Yeah, so we can't really peek behind that curtain just yet.
I feel like if there's not an ending like the Rise of the Phoenix tour, like yeah. getting sprayed,
I
need that.
That's
by
tough
confetti.
To top.
But was that confetti?
That's not what she was talking about.
What?
All right.
Who?
Yeah, the confetti that comes out of the...
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The phallus?
I know. Yep. That was a big finish.
Yes.
But, yeah. No, we've got some things in store. We've got some things up the sleeve.
And you're coming to the Hollywood Palladium on Friday, December 21st.
I think that's just
right.
announced today.
Just mm-hmm. announced today. Friday, December 21st. Tickets go on sale today.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
At 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.
Right. Whoa, it's not right. on sale yet.
Right, 10 a.m. today.
Okay, just announced, and we're going to give away the first 5 pair of tickets to that right now.
Whoa.
You better act fast, because my guest list is over 1,000, I think.
This is money out of your pocket,
yeah,
Kyle. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So the tickets go on sale this morning at 10 a.m., but you can win them right now. If you love the D like we do, you can call 1-800-520-1067. Callers 20 through 24, you win tickets to the show at the Hollywood Palladium on December the 21st. You know what I've always wanted to ask you guys that I never have for each of you individually. When did you first start playing music as a kid? What drew you to it?
Well, we had to play recorder in fifth grade. I think both kids in California.
Not me.
No,
not Jack.
That's
right.
How
no,
you started, though, Kyle. Was recorder?
Yes.
Kyle's talking about his friends from his class in 1923. They all had to play recorder.
All right, so Kyle, you're playing the recorder, yeah. But most people would just do that because they have to and they need the school credit. But then obviously something.
No, I never stopped. I never stopped playing.
You still play it?
Yes, I do. Actually,
December 21st at the Palladium.
Oh, he'll bust out the recorder. Oh, yeah.
How many yeah, instruments balance. Do you now play, Kyle? Because I know you are tremendously accomplished.
No,
guitar
I
player.
Can
you
really. I can only play guitar. And
you play things. Ukulele?
Oh no, that's a stringed instrument. I'm saying
okay.
it's wrong.
You know, we've only won one Grammy, and it was for our cover of a Ronnie James Dio song, "The Last in Line."
People are still mad about that.
Where, was it the last
really?
In line? Wait, which
yeah.
song did we win?
Yeah, it was the last.
And Cage ripped an amazing recorder solo.
Nice.
That I'm convinced is the reason we got the Grammy.
Cue that up.
So you can make fun of Kyle's recorder, but
sure you got it.
It's got
computer.
A satanic power that's unparalleled.
I don't think we have it. Satanic power. All right.
It opens
right.
a portal.
It releases the Kraken.
What about you, Jack?
Yeah, when did you start musically?
Well, I was singing a lot as a kid. I would sing along to albums at home, and I did a lot of 4-track recording of harmonies in high school. But it wasn't until I joined forces with Kyle in the late 80s that he taught me how to play acoustic guitar. He was my guitar teacher. And
it was that long ago?
Best stoner friend.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, we go back to the 80s.
That's amazing.
And when did you start working on Tribute, our first song? We worked on that for about, I'm going to say, a year and a half. And then we had our first concert where we only had one song. It was Tribute. And it was pretty powerful. And weirdly, in the audience was Harry Shearer
of
the Tap.
Spinal Tap.
And
he was vying. He thought we should be called Pets or Meat. But we went with Tenacious D against his wishes.
Okay, all
but
right.
Just the fact that he was there was
when
special.
When did you start doing your covers on YouTube where you would just sing songs?
We first started doing... When did we do? Oh, me.
Yeah, you, oh, yeah, your Instagram.
Oh,
my Instagram.
Instagram, yeah. I'm sorry.
You don't do it anymore.
You know what? I did that because I felt competitive with Dwayne The Rock Johnson because he was the king of Instagram.
I see.
He and Kevin Hart when we were doing Jumanji.
Gotcha.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to jump. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. I'm going to do some Instas.
And how'd that work out for you?
It was good. I got some followers. I don't have as many as Dwayne or Kevin, but
that's
you know.
What I was asking.
No.
Okay.
But, all right. You know, I'm no slouch. I might do some more of those. It's almost like having your own little 1 minute television show.
I love it.
It's kind of fun to
do. So the D has been together for 30 years or close to it.
Yeah.
And
that's right. Yeah.
Please tell me you guys are going to last forever.
Oh yeah.
Well,
I mean, do you drive each other crazy?
Oh, we'll never.
We'll never.
You'll never break up.
No, not. Well, okay. I mean, we break up every time we play live, but we always get back together.
I mean,
we'll never
the 401
not get back
is,
together.
It's not
is
there.
The real
gotcha. I can't retire yet.
Because you guys see,
it's money.
You guys,
it's straight money.
It's straight. Yeah.
Okay.
You guys are. I think for a lot of us, you are our best friend goals, and that's why we're so happy every time we see you guys together, still enjoying the rock. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, Kyle's going in for the hug.
Oh,
Jack,
look at that. Oh,
Jack,
this is
Jack
sweet.
Back.
But Jack didn't really want much of it.
It was weird.
He didn't really want that hug. No, that was.
All right.
That was strange.
That was unrequited.
It was a little creepy.
Let me.
Santa Claus come up.
I'm not happy with how this is ending, Bean.
Let me sell some stuff and we'll let you go.
Tenacious Santa coming in for an unwanted hug.
Tenacious D at the Hollywood Palladium. The show is Friday, December 21st. Tickets go on sale today through Ticketmaster. I'm trying to do the plugs here, Allie.
Kyle, we'll sit down.
10 a.m. tickets at Ticketmaster. Go to YouTube and check out the series. It is awesome, you guys. It is called Post Apocalypto, and the album comes out on November 2nd. We love you guys. Thanks for coming by.
Love you.
Thank you. Weird sexual fetishes next hour.
Oh.
Based on the foot sniffer that we've been talking about this week. First, it's time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. If you want to leave a message the old-fashioned way, you can do it at that number. You remember when, Allie, you were doing the Christopher Robin?
No, I don't,
you were
Kevin.
So moved emotionally by the idea of this coming back?
Yeah, it's Christopher Robin. He finally meets up with Winnie the Pooh for the first time in decades. Mm-hmm. He hasn't seen his old friend. I was tearing up.
You were crying before we started playing the trailer.
Because it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, and I couldn't wait to play it for you guys.
So you started playing it, and then about halfway in...
Yep.
DJ Omar Khan put in a fart sound effect.
Sure did.
And you screamed.
I lost my
ass. You were so angry / depressed.
I was disappointed.
Disappointed.
Yes.
And that's what the first call's about.
Oh my God, I am crying listening to Allie and the Christopher Robin trailer. And I'm so emotional. And then, who? I don't know to be sad anymore or just elated. Thank you so much, guys. Love you.
Yeah, it changed some people. It really did.
For the better.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin and Bean, I love you.
Alcohol is a hell of a drug, right?
Yeah.
Yo, beer mug, fat mug, king of Mexico, king of fat.
Okay, so they're trying to lose weight. It's March Fatness. Mm-hmm. This guy's going to come with some really strong weight loss advice.
Okay.
X-Lax and fat burners. That's all you're going to do. You're going to just calorie count eating your X-Lax and fat burners. I think they're like 5 calories a pill. You got it down 1,000 pills. I don't know, maybe not 1,000. Maybe it's like 500 pills a day. Love you, bye.
Yeah, we don't want to.
I mean, maybe that's not great.
We don't want to recommend
maybe
that.
Maybe don't do that.
Don't do that. Do the opposite.
Remember when we were doing Great News and Dave came in with a story about Malachi?
Oh, for the love.
That touching story about Malachi?
Yeah, sure do.
And afterwards, Allie said, are you sure it wasn't Malachi?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys. It's me, Malachi. I was wondering if D-Av was there. D-Av?
He probably said Malachi as Malachi 20 times during the story, and every time I'm like, he's going to catch it?
Yeah.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Plus, you don't know whether to butt in because you don't want to, it was a touching story.
Well, he was
and you don't
in
stop
the moment.
Right.
Yeah.
But hey, there's a new theme for What's Happening.
Oh.
What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? In your butt.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's like a whole different segment.
We have been talking about telling jokes because of April Foolishness and how people tend to not be able to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
This guy proves us wrong.
How does Reese eat her ice cream? Witherspoon!
Okay. All in the delivery.
Yep.
Here's another joke.
Why did Kevin cross the road? Because terrorist situations, aliens, maybe it's just something we'll never know the answer to.
Just by luck, dude called back.
Speaking of terrorist situations, Kevin, come on. Hit it, Steve. Let's hear it. Come on, Steve. Let's go, Steve. Terrorist situations. Huh, Kevin? Huh?
I'd rather not.
Steve, hit it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from, I'm not positive what the answer is, to, it must be, you know, infallible word of God, or, you know, in terrorist, you know, situations, or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to. That guy
that
speaks
was
truth.
A Moment with Kevin.
That guy speaks truth. That's all I know.
Oh.
Stryker.
Yeah.
Calls
mm-hmm.
the Afro line.
Yeah, he does.
Sometimes repeatedly.
Kevin and Bean at Stryker. Have you had the hot cocoa at K-Rock, which is free by that cage? It is the best hot cocoa I ever had.
And by the way, there is a cage right by the machine. It's odd.
The cage is the prize closet, in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where they keep T-shirts and stuff like that.
Okay.
But it's literally a cage with a lock on it.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here. There may be stuff going on after hours that we don't know about in there.
Right.
Yeah. Stryker called back.
The reason why the cocoa is so good is I don't like hot milk. I generally don't like hot liquids. Mm-hmm. I never had coffee. Anyway, hot liquids are not in my wheelhouse. So the hot cocoa, though, at K-Rock, which is free out of the machine, mm-hmm. the top quarter inch inside the 8-ounce cup is so bubbly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're halfway through, and by the time you get halfway, it's down to the bottom, and it's not too chocolatey and not too hot. Phew. Hello?
Oh, Stryker. God bless him.
Stryker, what are you doing?
I'm so embarrassed by that.
What?
Call.
No, it's entertaining. It's endlessly entertaining. I love it. But what are you doing?
I honestly think I've been lonely the last 4 weeks.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh, Stryker.
If you add up the amount of people I've spoken to outside of work, it's one. And I feel like sometimes when exciting things happen, my wife's not around, no one's around, I just want to tell you guys how happy I am. Because there's a few things that really... So I don't collect shoes. I don't really... My car is just normal.
What's happening?
I don't know, but he just changed conversations, right?
No, I'm okay. Getting to something.
Oh, this is the same. So okay.
Three things that I would say that very... That make me very happy.
Okay.
Like optimum
mm-hmm.
happiness would be I'll pay for air conditioning, iceberg lettuce wedge, and the top quarter inch of the foam on the hot chocolate make me extremely happy. And I had no one to tell.
All right.
Why don't you... How come you're in seclusion? What's happening with you?
First, I've been
very
like
social...
a hermit crab lately and using all my energy at work, and then I don't want to talk to anybody.
Right.
Okay.
And then when good things happen, mm-hmm. I love you guys, so I just call you on the Afro line, and then sometimes I get distracted, and then... The last time I don't think I hung up, but I really like you guys, and I don't see you that often.
Well, we don't see you very
I will say this, hearing about tuna sandwiches and now hearing about the foam, I feel it's brought us closer as a people.
Yeah, well, the thing with the tuna wasn't
don't
just
care.
That the tuna
nope.
was
don't
good.
Care.
Don't care.
The ratio
Ted,
of
don't
the
care.
Iceberg
don't.
Lettuce to the tuna, which
Allie
made
was trying. Allie was trying just to smooth
I
that
was
over.
Just, I was just buttoning this up with
right.
a nice little bow. What? Do you button it up with a bow?
I don't think so.
Not
but...
sure.
Stryker, get some friends.
Okay.
We love you.
And second of all, he tagged our van. I don't
what?
Know if you saw that.
What?
What kind of an animal is Stryker that would take a can of spray paint and tag over our tagging?
Oh, Stryker.
Yeah, I wrote my name so small, it's like the size of 8 ants. I wrote it in like one of the letters
and
there.
And you thought we wouldn't see it? That was art you were
painting over.
Yes, Picasso. It was total art.